Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You are live with Tex and Rex. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. We, as usual, are talking about a brokered convention. And I am your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from deep woods of Virginia in an undisclosed location.
And this is Tex. I'm broadcasting, as always, from high above Houston in the Crystal Cathedral. Down here in Texas, we don't have to hide in the woods. Just walk around and say this stuff. But you Virginia guys, I know, you got to hide in the woods. The East Coast dudes, you got to have bunkers and stuff, whatever. Anyway, so, Rex, what is on our exciting August agenda while Washington takes a collective nap and vacation, and the news media mails phones it in for 30 days. What is on our agenda for today?
Well, generally speaking, August in this area, and like I said, I'm in Virginia, so I'm nearby the ninth circle of hell, commonly referred to as I-495, the Capitol Beltway, that encircles the District of Corruption. August is usually a sleepy month, and the Republicrats and the Demopublicans usually vacate the city, and they leave it to the insipid lifers. But we got a pretty exciting August. It's just not this week, but next week. People will start arriving in Tampa, Florida for the convention. Some of them are going down there because they think it's going to be a four-day rah-rah-rah for Rhino Romney and mini-mitt Paul Ryan, the wrong Paul. But they're going to be met with a serious and loud opposition of Ron Paul supporters, Newt Gingrich supporters, and probably Sarah Palin and Herman Cain and a whole bunch of other things. Interestingly enough, if I'm not mistaken, Speaker Newt Gingrich will be down there as well, but he hasn't been invited to speak at the convention. Now, that's interesting,
well, he's not,
right?
He's not a speaker, I heard. I heard he's not a good speaker. Is that why he hasn't been invited to speak?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, I think it's because he doesn't speak Rhino too well. But the interesting thing is that when Newt suspended his campaign, and for you listeners out there, suspending in a campaign doesn't mean it's over, and Newt has never officially ended his campaign. But, you know, when he did that and he, quote, endorsed Romney, they put him front and center. In the few weeks prior to his suspension, they blacked him out of the media. It's like Newt Gingrich suddenly stopped existing in the media world. And then as soon as he suspended his campaign, they put him everywhere. He became the spokesperson for conservative values and the Republican Party, and Mitt Romney disappeared. And now...
Yeah, it's kind of like what Obama did to Clinton. It's like, hey, everybody seems to hate my guts, but they like Clinton, so let's get Clinton out there and have him do a bunch of talking for me, because everybody remembers how great the Democratic Party was under Clinton. And then it turns out, like, everybody actually did remember how great the Republican Party, or sorry, the Democrat Party was under Clinton. And they're like, hey, Bill, stop talking so much.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, clearly they were just trying to use Gingrich because people obviously respond to him and the Republican base likes him. And now they're telling him, look, you got us to the dance by being the rah-rah guy for us for so long, now go away. But, you know, he said, okay, I'll go away. So he went across the street to the Tampa Bay Times Forum, and he's going to be airing a screening of Rendezvous with Destiny, his movie about Ronald Reagan, and he's going to be hosting workshops for the delegates.
Last night, I must add, I watched last night.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I actually, because I ordered from GingrichProductions.com an autographed book from the man himself, and you can get these things super cheap over at Gingrich Productions right now. Once he becomes, you know, president, it's going to be a substantial markup on these things, so it's a good time to buy. but I also got a copy of Rendezvous with Destiny, so I watched that last night. Excellent movie. Oh, man. Really reminds you why we're Republicans, you know.
Well, look, the fact is that, you know, people tend to, you know, plant their flag in a camp and they kind of stay there. And then the camp maybe changes its rules and you just kind of hang out. But you know, why are we conservatives? let's not say we're necessarily Republicans, because some of us aren't, but why are we conservatives? And what is that? What is a conservative? Well, I can tell you what it isn't right off the bat. It is absolutely in no way, shape, or form anything that closely resembles Willard Mitt Romney. Would you agree with that?
No.
Right? You know?
Yeah. Who the hell is that guy? Who the hell is he? Where did he come from? Like, I'm having a nightmare, and this guy's in it all the time.
He's a liberal Democrat from Massachusetts who's posing as a severely conservative Republican in order to lose the election to Barack Hussein Obama. And that's exactly why we're here. That's exactly why we're talking. And, you know, the fact is that we got a week left, people, so this is not the time to sit back and say, oh, it's August and it's time to relax and, oh, the kiddies got to go back to school next week. Let's go buy the pens and pencils. This is much more important than that, because where are you sending your kids to school? Are you sending them to a government indoctrination center? Even if you're sending them to a private school, what country are they going to grow up in if you drop the ball now? So the important thing is we got 1 week to let all the delegates know there is no way in hell that Mitt Romney can beat Barack Obama. Get a better candidate. We have a lot of good choices, and obviously the top two easily identifiable choices who would both do an infinitely better job than the current Marxist in the White House, the bumbling buffoon vice president, or Willard Mitt Romney or Mini Mitt Paul Ryan, and that's clearly Drs. Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul. So, you know, get on the ball, tell your delegates. I'm going to throw out our call-in number, and then I'm going to bring in a caller. So please call in.
Right.
And for all you Mitwits, Mitbots, Rhino Romneys,
bring the pain, because you got a week. You got a week to like talk sense into us. So, you know, maybe you could do it. Maybe you're the guy.
You know, put on your big girl panties and give us a call, 646-649-1013. And we got a caller on the line from 562. You are live. Who are you, and what's on your mind?
I am Kevin. What's going on, Tex and Rex?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Thanks for calling in.
Hopefully my phone doesn't cut off this time like it did last weekend, you know, many, many times.
Well, you know, we're all suffering from technological problems, because this is what happens. When you adopt socialistic, bureaucratic, insipid patronage and privilege policies in the country, which we have been for a long time, things start to break down and they stop working. So, you know, here's the interesting thing, okay? You know, I've lived in other countries around the world, and I'll tell you, just about everywhere in the world, you got to deal with something. Either, you know, you can't drink the water, or the electricity only runs 40% of the time, or the roads are never clear, or, you know, there's always some kind of something that doesn't friggin' work. And what happens in America is we all grow up and we get used to the fact that when you plug something into the wall, you got power. When you when you go down the street, people are, you know, generally walking or driving in an orderly manner. When you go to the store, the shelves are full. You don't have to worry about the water. I mean, we're used to things working. Well, you know what? That's starting to fall apart, and it's going to get worse if we keep going down
the world. They don't do that. In the rest of the world, they just don't do that. I mean, I remember when I was in India, first they have what's called power sharing days. What power sharing means is you have no power, because you just shared all your power with some big industrial company that wanted all the electricity in the city that day.
Exactly.
Then, you know, driving around India, they're like, well, you know, in America, you guys maintain good lane discipline, right? Like, what? Like, you basically, they're saying you guys drive inside the lane. They don't actually do that in India. Also, I've been in Venezuela. And those lanes, totally optional in Venezuela. You just drive anywhere. It doesn't really matter.
It's just like everywhere else. I mean, look, you try to drive around Rome. There's no such thing as lanes. And, you know, they got those small little, you know, toy cars. But nevertheless, I mean, it's sheer chaos over there, okay? This is the case with most of the world, you know? And, hey, Kevin,
the number one selling car in Italy is Hot Wheels.
Yeah, it outsells Fiat 10-1. But Kevin, let's be clear about something. This kind of crap happened in your country. When I say your country, I'm talking about the West Coast, right? You got those you had those rolling brownouts in California and all that crap.
Yeah,
Same socialistic policy.
It's happened in New York City. I mean, it happens everywhere where socialistic policies are. It's more like the United States of Greece now, not the United States of America.
Exactly. And see, that's why we're talking about this broker convention. Everybody thinks this is some kind of, you know, hey, we picked Newt Gingrich because we like Newt Gingrich, and now we're being sore losers, and we won't let it go, and we're going to disrupt the convention and help Barack Obama win. Screw you. That's not the case at all. I didn't pick Newt Gingrich because I like the guy, although I do. I picked him because he's the guy that got it done before, okay? And we're at a stage in this country right now, Kevin, where if we don't turn it around now, immediately, we may not recover. We may not recover.
I totally agree. So, totally agree.
I'm a results-oriented guy.
No.
Oh, go ahead.
I want to make a quick point here, okay?
Sure.
For those saying, you know, oh, if you're for a broker convention, you're for Barack Obama, can you imagine, let's say, if somebody else besides Nick Idiot gets the nomination, let's say Newt Gingrich does get the nomination, the next week Barack Obama has to come up with a speech in Charlotte, okay? Do you understand how stupid he will sound in Charlotte? He will stutter more than Porky Pig, okay?
Yep.
I mean, it would be insanely comical to watch Barack Obama go up against Newt Gingrich or anybody else besides Mitt Romney. He will be off his game. He will be exposed to the whole nation, to the whole world. Of how retarded he is. I mean, this guy is so incompetent. And for Mitt Romney supporters to say, oh, if you don't vote for Romney, you're for Obama, I beg to differ. If you vote for Romney, you're actually for Obama, because they are both very similar.
You're absolutely right.
Romney is such a terrible candidate with such a staggering failure rate in public elections that, you know, Barack Obama is begging to run against this guy because he's looking at that field. It's like, the only guy I could beat is this idiot Romney. You know, so please, you know, run that guy against me. Like, he's probably even afraid of, you know, that, what, Tim Pawlenty, T-Paw, or whoever that guy was. Like, he's there for like 3 weeks and then he's gone. I don't even know much about him, but he probably thought, I can't even beat T-Paw.
Anybody who calls himself a Tea Party member as well and supports Mitt Romney, smack yourself in the face, because you're going away from your core principles, quote unquote, of no bailouts, no bigger government. You're supporting two guys in Ryan and Romney who have implemented and supported bigger government. So how are you going to tell me if you're a Tea Party member?
Well, this is how to tell you, Kevin. This is the line they pull. Well, you know, Mitt Romney's the only path we have now. He's the nominee, so we don't have a choice. We have to go with him. He's not my ideal candidate, but you know, he's better than Obama. No, he's not better than Obama. That's a lie. He's not better than Obama. He's not the only path. Sack up and get rid of him. All right, we got someone on the line with us, gentlemen. I'm 904, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe that is a man who's doing a great show tonight. He's been doing a great fire at this show, and that is Sammy Sanford. Sam, are you there?
And this is me. I'm calling in on my wife's phone because I got my phone charging. Hey, Kevin. Hey, Dan.
Hey,
Sammy, how are you? Hey, Rex. And, I mean, we are – did I send you a copy of that email last night, Rex?
You might have, but I don't know if I got it.
Okay. I will probably report it. Something re-energized me from an email.
Okay.
And it's from a fish. It's from a fish.
And
basically saying they have marginalized me because I shut my show down. We got a spy out there, and we think we know who it is. I'm not going to broadcast it, but we cannot remain focused on these little mitwits. We have to remain focused on Newt Gingrich. And I mean, yes, we can comment about these idiots. But it's not really worth our time because it's diverting us away from our ultimate goal of a broker convention and Newt Gingrich.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Sammy, about that kind of stuff is, first, you know, I've been in environments where there's always a spy. You know, everything you do, you know, you play games that basically were based on the fact that everyone was completely infiltrated, but yet you had to still come up with plans, right? So you had to know who you could trust and who had the real plans and who you gave the public plans to and all that kind of stuff. So just, I would always assume you've been infiltrated. But the thing is, this kind of behavior is not really the American electoral system. It's not the American way. You know, you come in and start harassing people and marginalizing them and then calling them names and threatening them to get them to vote for your candidate. Well, what they've done is they've galvanized us. they've galvanized
exactly.
us against Mitt Romney, and there's no way that, you know, we're supporting this guy. So we're going to go to an open convention. We're going to get a real candidate. And then Barack Obama, you know, right now Mitt Romney is starring in Look Who's Sharting Now. But, you know, after we get a real candidate, then Barack Obama, he's going to be, you know, to look who's sharting too, right? You know? And that's going to be Barack Obama. Because he's like, oh, crap, I thought I was going to be running against Romney.
Exactly. He'll sound like Porky Pig.
Well, and I know all of y'all know that Mitt Romney cannot beat Barack Obama. I mean, in most of your battleground states, Mitt Romney is not winning in the local, in the polls in those
yeah.
states. I mean, if that was Newt Gingrich would probably be smoking him by 10 or 15 points.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Why is not Mitt Romney blown out Barack Obama? That's because the American people, which the most of the electorate is actually conservative. Why is he not blowing out Barack Obama? And the one answer to that is they know he is almost identical to him.
That's right.
And
but,
as,
yeah. Sammy, some of the people who know that there are these similarities are either choosing to ignore them, or they're just saying, well, it's anybody but Obama. So even though I don't like Mitt Romney, even though I don't agree with his position on NDAA, on abortion, on so-called gay marriage, you know, he's better than Obama. Well, he's not better than Obama. So
no, he's not.
You're, you know, yipping about he's better than Obama. He's not. He might even be worse. The simple fact is he's not a Republican. He doesn't belong in this party. And our job for the next week, and this is the crucial week, folks. You've been working your butts off for months, but this is the crucial week. This is the time to make the noise. This is the time to let the delegates know that we are behind them to exercise their free agency to vote according to the needs of the party and the country, okay? Not according to some stupid primary that may have been rigged way back a few months ago before we knew that Mitt Romney has illegal SEC filings, that he hasn't released his tax returns, but he gave 25 years' worth of them to John McCain right before John McCain passed him over for vice president. The fact that he's got foreign money into his campaign, which is also illegal, that was affirmed in a decision by the Supreme Court earlier this year. This guy has so much baggage. And if you remember way back when Newt started his campaign, they're like, why is Newt Gingrich running? He has so much baggage. And they would talk about his baggage. What baggage? First of all, even if you consider his prior infidelities for which he's been repentant and has turned to God and asked for and received reconciliation, or his so-called ethics charges that don't exist, and or his lobbying for Fannie Mae that never happened. Even if you consider all that stuff baggage, we've known about it for 15 years. We don't know squat about Romney. And look what happened last time we didn't know squat about a candidate. Was he born in Hawaii? Was he born in Kenya? Was he born in Indonesia? Is his name Sobarak? Is it Barry? We don't know squat. Did he go to Harvard? Was he a janitor there? I mean, what was his role at Harvard? So we don't know these things, and we elected the idiot, and we got a Marxist puppet in the White House. And now we're going to do the same thing with a Mormon puppet? Come on, think about that.
Amen.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, and
exactly.
I was saying, you know, when I started telling people, like I saw Gingrich last time on the debates, this was back in October of 2011, I said, look, the guy's going to beat Gingrich. I said, well, he's got a lot of baggage. I'm like, what kind of baggage? I said, oh, yeah, well, back in the 90s, you know, he shut the government down. I'm like, well, why is that baggage? Like, you know, I said, yeah, well, he's really unpopular because, you know, he cut welfare and all that kind of stuff. I said, well, wait a minute. He's unpopular because he reduced the government deficit? I'm like, that's not unpopular. Right now, that's what everybody absolutely wants. So his big negative is his major positive, you know? Like, yeah, well, but the party doesn't like it. Well, screw
what?
The party.
Well,
know, the party's the problem, not Newt Gingrich.
Who's paid off $405 billion in debt? Who reformed welfare? Who won a re-election majority? Who gained a majority? Okay? I mean, this man created the Republican majority. But like Laura Ingraham said, there's three conservatives we always have to thank for making change in D.C. William F. Buckley, Ronald Reagan, and Newt Gingrich. Those three conservatives are the top three conservatives that D.C. has ever seen before.
Yep, and Kevin
Rudd,
they want to be.
Kevin, if I'm not mistaken, only one of them is still alive. Listen, gentlemen, we've got five of us on the line. I got another caller. Let's do this. Let's bring the caller in. Let the caller talk, and then after everyone speaks, let's bring it back to me, and I'll call out the next guy so we don't end up talking over each other. But we got a caller on from 917. 917, you're on. Who are you, and what's on your mind?
Oh, I'm Teresa Polychronis in New York. And right now I'm listening. If I have something to say, I'll hit one and let you know.
Okay, well,
hey,
I appreciate you calling in, Teresa. Sammy, back to you.
Okay, I'm opening my show tonight, not with your wife's song.
That's all right, Sammy.
And there's a song, and it's called, there's one word to the song. I mean, there's more than one word, but the first word, the first two, Back in Black.
Oh,
AC/DC. I'm going to open up this show tonight, and because, I mean, after that email last night, I stayed up half the night filing a police report and filing an FBI report against the idiot. And we're going to be Back in Black, and we're not going to shut up. I'm going to do the show every night. Every night till after Tampa. And I mean,
excellent.
I'm just...
That's good news, Sammy.
I am just pissed off and... Rex, send me... Rex and Tex, send me a private message on the chat with an email, and I will send you this email.
Sure thing.
And the guy threatened me. But we have to get off that, though, because we have, for you new supporters out there that want to get diverted and say we maybe need to get behind Mitt Romney, you're wrong. If you are new supporters that are outright supporting Mitt Romney, then you were never a true blue Newt supporter. And I hate
to say
that.
Getting behind Mitt Romney is never a good decision.
No, it's not. And for you people out there that want to do that, I will get behind, as I told Rex and Tex, I will get behind Ron Paul before I would vote for Mitt Romney. Plain
and simple. Without a doubt, Sammy. And look, and you know, I know you've gotten flack for that. And I know that people have accused you of problems with the whole Ron Paul thing. But let's just be clear about a couple of things. Ron Paul's a Republican. Ron Paul's been a Republican a hell of a lot longer than Willard Mitt Romney, okay? And Ron Paul believes in the Constitution. We might not agree with everything about Ron Paul because as conservatives, we tend to be less libertarian than most libertarians, and Ron Paul is a conservative libertarian, but he's a libertarian. But the difference is a matter of degree. It's not a matter of kind. Willard Mitt Romney is a different kind. He's a liberal Democrat. So for anybody to tell me or give you flack, okay, for saying that, hey, you know what, I can get behind Ron Paul, but I prefer Newt Gingrich, or for a Ron Paul supporter who says, hey, look, I'm with Dr. Paul in the campaign for liberty and the Ron Paul revolution, but if he doesn't come out of the convention and it's a fair convention, I can vote for Gingrich, lay off. That's how the process works. What we have to agree on, and Sammy, you talked about it on your show all the time, is that Mitt Romney is just not the guy. They forced this guy down our throats, and he's got to go.
He's the worst of every choice we had. He was the absolute worst person that could have ended up the nominee. And the party was like, no, he's great. You guys will all fall in line. Ah, shut up. You know, you'll vote for McCain. You'll vote for Dole. You'll vote for Bush. Just shut up and do what we say. And at this point, it's like, no, I'm not listening to you anymore. You guys don't know what you're doing. And it's painfully obvious they don't know what they're doing. Unless what they're doing is trying to make sure that Barack Obama gets reelected. I mean, the failure rate of these rhinos is so high, it's becoming awfully suspicious to me how much these guys freaking lose elections for Democrats.
Yeah, when something consistently goes in one direction, okay, you can't attribute it to failure. Because let's be clear about something. Even the biggest failure in the world is going to succeed at something at some point just by sheer probability. The fact that these guys keep failing over and over again.
How do you figure? He's a failure at about everything.
Exactly. It's a clear indication that something is managing the process towards an end. They are absolutely 100%, without a doubt, willing to lose to Barack Obama so that John Boehner, and as we revealed yesterday on the show, his Native American Indian name is Crying Tan, okay? As John Boehner, a.k.a. Crying Tan, can sit there and bang his gavel like a tomahawk and pretend that he's actually doing something. He knows as long as Barack Obama's president, nothing will get done, and he can always point the finger at somebody else. Well, I'm pointing the finger at you, and you're easy to find, you little shit, because you glow in the dark, you're orange. And you are the reason that we have this problem. And you are going to go. And the reason that John Boehner is scared shitless of Newt Gingrich is because the text, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't John Boehner instrumental in getting rid of Newt Gingrich back in 99?
Oh, he was the brains of the operation. He's all good at getting rid of conservatives. Has no clue how to get rid of a Democrat. A Democrat, he'll just pass their agenda. That's how he's, you know, he just tries to, hey, I hope these Democrats don't yell at me because I'd be upset. But you conservatives, shut the hell up and I'm going to eliminate your districts. That's John Boehner. By the way, he's on our side. Apparently, he's, quote, on our side. Get rid of that dude immediately. He's stuck.
So you think maybe he's a little frightened that Newzilla comes back to town?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
who is it?
Talk about sharding. That guy is sharding.
Who isn't frightened in D.C. about Newt coming back? Because they know damn well he'll change the whole thing.
Yeah.
People who care about the country and the future and the Constitution are not scared. Everyone else, all these rhinos, all these statists, all these crypto-communists, all these, you know, socialists, they're all terrified.
Yeah, but let's be clear about something. There's another group of people who got some terror, Kevin, in the text, okay? There are some delegates, and look, let's be clear, there's several different kinds of delegates. You got party people, okay? When I was at my convention, they packed the at-large delegates with the governor, the former governor, the lieutenant governor. You know, it was disgusting. Those guys are party guys. They're either already in the tank for Romney because they're going to get something, you know, they're going to get blown in the back room or something. I don't know. They're getting something out of the deal. Or they are party guys who want to see the party win and they think that this is the way to go and they kind of keep their heads down because they got a campaign that they're running and they need some money or they got a position they want to keep. Then you've also got the Campaign for Liberty guys. Now, this has been a true grassroots movement and one that I will state this very clearly, one that should put anybody who has belonged to a Tea Party to shame, because the Campaign for Liberty has been busting their hump and out there working for Ron Paul and the Ron Paul inspired movement, while the Tea Parties have gone back home and said, well, I guess it's Mitt Romney. Then you're not really Tea Party, are you? Okay? And so these guys have busted their hump. They've gone to the conventions. They've gone to the caucuses. They got the positions, and now they're being threatened. They're being bullied. They're being beaten up.
That's always a good sign for a voluntary organization when you start threatening and bullying the people who voluntarily are part of your group.
Exactly.
That always works.
So it's just like the other side. And the insanity is, I mean, why does Richard Gilbert have this lawsuit? Because the Republican Party is intimidating these guys. And you know what? These guys have a right to speak. They earned the position. They got elected to be a delegate. They want to go down and vote for Ron Paul. And guess what? They should. That's what they were there to do, and they got the position fairly. Quit screwing around with it. Quit treating Ron Paul like he's a redheaded stepchild. Yeah, I'll put it this way. I think that Ron Paul is right on many things in principle. Unfortunately, I think Ron Paul has been relatively ineffective, which is why I prefer Newt Gingrich. It's not a matter of disagreement so much with Ron Paul as much as it is the fact that I need somebody right now who I know can get it done, and I've seen Newt do it before. So I know that he knows how to get it done, despite opposition in his own party and despite the other side. So that's why I support Newt Gingrich, and that's why I think that anybody who supports Ron Paul can get behind Newt Gingrich too. Set aside the small little minor differences there. We're talking about big differences here of communism versus the United States of America. So these guys are out there being intimidated and scared. And then you've got also some Gingrich delegates, some people who were Santorum delegates or Michelle Bachmann or Herman Cain or what have you. These people are afraid, and they're about to walk into the lion's den that's being controlled by this small clique oligarchy led by Rince Cubas, okay? And they're going to be intimidated severely, and they're going to be out of their element. They're not going to be sure what they're doing, some of them. What we are supposed to do for the next week and all week next week when we're there is empower these people, encourage them, let them know that we stand behind them. Make sure that they know that we want them to vote their conscience, not Mitt Romney. That's our job. And that's why it's important that you're on the air, Sammy, and I'm glad to have you back every day.
Yeah, I'm back for now for a while, and once the convention's over, I will reevaluate the show. We might change it to the Anthony or Romney page or show once it's over with, if he is our nominee, because we were going to have to hold his, if, and I'm saying if, he is our nominee, and he is elected to the White House, we will have to hold the fire to his ass every day to make sure he toes the line. But I'm not even looking, right now, I'm looking forward to Newt Gingrich being our president.
Yep. Well, even if you know, somehow he pulls a rabbit out of the hat and ends up being the nominee, which I think is unlikely, but if he does manage to do that, the likelihood of his victory is very much more unlikely. If Mitt Romney actually ends up being the nominee, the guy I feel the worst for is going to be Paul Ryan, because when he inevitably loses, they're going to blame all that on Ryan, and thus the guy will have ended his political career, because he'll forever be the loser whose radical budget-cutting plans cost Mitt Romney the election.
Yeah, except for a couple of things. One, his budget-cutting plan wasn't that radical. Two, he's been relatively a big government guy. So this whole smokescreen that Paul Ryan is somehow this super conservative, you know, guy who's cutting government is a myth. And it's a myth because they don't want to blame him. They don't give a shit about him. They want to blame you and me. They want to blame us.
You were out there on the radio. You were on Twitter. You were on Facebook. You were telling everybody not to vote for Mitt Romney. And look, it cost us the election. That's a lie. That is an absolute lie. We're out here fighting because we believe in America. Not in Romney's campaign believe in America, but actually believe in America. And Romney is not the answer. And he is
made
that up.
He's the freaking
problem. He's exactly
And see,
the
thing is, after they got rid of Gingrich out of Congress, all the new people who came in who believed in what Reagan and Gingrich were doing, they're like, oh, see what happens when you bring that stuff to Washington? You know, it doesn't work. It upsets the voters. All that Reagan-Gingrich stuff, that voters hate that. So just go along and be a big government guy. We're going to do this Karl Rove thing where we buy votes just like Roosevelt does. Everybody likes that. And so Paul Ryan, he probably moderated, you know, maybe when he came in, he was like a Gingrich fiscal conservative, and then he completely moderated, you know, and became, you know, part of the system and part of the problem. And now, if they, when Mitt Romney inevitably fails, either at Tampa or in November, you know, then he's going to say, what caused my failures is Paul Ryan guy. Guy's a pariah over there. Because even his tepid, rhino-esque attempts at budget cutting are such anathema to the American voter that you can't win with that. And then everyone who runs from then on out will have to be a full-on big government Keynesian, whether they're a Republican or a Democrat. That's what they're trying to set up.
And that's what we've been having. I mean, Reagan was an exception. Gingrich was an exception. This has been going on for a long time, longer than most of us on this call have been alive. But here's the thing to understand. If Paul Ryan has any delusions about pulling a Sarah Palin, you know, where basically they struck her down, blamed her for the campaign loss, and she became more powerful than they could ever imagine. Paul Ryan, I know Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan Kenobi's a friend of mine. You ain't no Obi-Wan Kenobi. You ain't going to be able to do it. So your career's dead because you hitched your wagon to this guy. And the funny thing is, when the hell in modern history, and I'm not talking about back when we, you know, used to communicate by telegraph and it took a week for news to get across the country and everybody was kind of in very separate regions. But since that time, when has the vice president been an important player? I mean, vice presidents don't make a ticket and they don't break a ticket. If they're going to break a ticket, okay, let's be clear about something. Biden was Obama's vice president. He didn't cost Obama the election, and come on, let's face it, Biden is like, you know, a buffoon. Come on, let's be serious. I mean, he's entertaining. Look, I love Joe Biden. He's highly entertaining, and I love to hear him speak because, you know, he's almost as funny as Dennis Miller. But the fact is that he didn't break Obama's campaign. Why do we think that Paul Ryan can make Romney's campaign? It's nothing. It's the vice presidential position. It doesn't mean all that much. So
How hard is this job? I mean, for God's sake. Joe Biden's been doing this for the past 4 years. You know, look at how bad he screws up. It doesn't seem to have affected much of anything, you know. And then, you know, we had Dan Quayle for all that period. You know, I mean, it's not a hard job, apparently. I mean, look, here's what you do if you're the vice president. It's like, hey, you're the vice president, so, you know, January 20th, going to need you to go over to that Naval Observatory and, like, sit down on those chairs. Because I hear those chairs, if you're not sitting on them, they start levitating and, like, bumping up against the ceiling. So I need you to sit in one of them to keep it on the ground. That's all the vice president does.
And look, Emmy, but you look what Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin was the only one that gave John McCain hope.
True.
And we still lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I voted for Sarah Palin. I did not vote for John McCain.
Right.
And I know both of y'all did the same thing.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm in that one, too. I was there. I voted for Palin.
Yeah, I was voting for Palin. My vote had nothing to do with John McCain.
Well, Sammy, that's the point right there. You just brought up the point. I mean, here's the fact. They snowed us last time, okay? And they said, okay, you know, you guys don't like McCain. He's been a rhino. He's been a big government guy. He's done global warming bills. Okay, we get that. But he's the guy we picked. You know, he's the inevitable guy. Get behind him. We'll throw you a bone. Here's a really conservative, pro-life, Christian, you know, woman, and we're going to make her the vice president. Why don't you guys go ahead and vote for her? So,
and
so
then we're
going
to try to eviscerate her.
Yeah.
The Republican Party did nothing to defend Sarah Palin when she was.
Newt Gingrich stood up to the reporter at the convention 4 years ago and said, "What the hell has Barack Obama done? Have you guys looked at his record? He hasn't been a governor. He hasn't gone up against his own party." Newt Gingrich was the only one who was a public figure standing up for Sarah Palin. And it wasn't John McCain, by the way, who introduced Sarah Palin. Newt Gingrich brought up Sarah Palin the same time he brought up Bobby Jindal. So let's not even go there with, you know, because of John McCain, Sarah Palin became a figure. John McCain listened to Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich is the one who brought up Sarah Palin first.
You're absolutely right.
But also, Mitt Romney, what was he? He was a governor of Massachusetts for one term. He did not run a second term. And he got, what, $1.5 billion from the federal government to save the Winter Olympics out there. Was it Utah?
Yep.
Yep.
It was Utah. I mean, so what has Mitt Romney done? Yes, he got taxpayers' money to save the Olympics.
A bailout.
Yeah, he got a bailout, and that's nothing proud to be about.
Yep. It's very true. Very true. But look, the simple fact is that, you know, basically all four of us just right now shot 100% saying that we voted for Sarah Palin, not John McCain. And like you said, Sammy, we still lost. Because the simple fact is, even if you get excited about the guy at the bottom of the ticket or the lady at the bottom of the ticket, unless the president passes away or is assassinated or they run in 4 years, that person you wanted is in an impotent position for a long time. So it doesn't make sense to vote based on the bottom of the ticket. And so even if we were excited, let's just say we were excited about Paul Ryan, let's say Paul Ryan was really conservative and we really thought he's the guy, how does that change who Mitt Romney is? He's a liberal Democrat.
He still has to defend his record.
Exactly, who's not pro-life, who's pro-NDAA, who's pro-bailouts, who's pro-TARP, who's pro-Federal Reserve, pro-Ben Bernanke, who has no foreign experience. Let's be clear about something. As governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin had a lot more foreign policy and military experience than the governor of Massachusetts does. Okay?
Yeah, the governor of Massachusetts, there's no foreign policy in that freaking... No. He doesn't know anything.
Exactly. You know, whereby Sarah Palin, you know... She said she could see Russia from her house. No, she didn't. That was Tina Fey that said that. That's how stupid people are. They buy this stuff. And what do you think Saturday Night Live is going to do to Mitt Romney come September 1st? I mean, come on.
Let me tell you, as someone used to work on Russia policy, when the Russians get upset, they do a military exercise basically off the coast of Alaska, and they penetrate U.S. airspace, and they scramble jets from Alaska. Okay? So the governor of Alaska is sort of at the front line of all this crap. So what's been going on in Syria? I don't know how much everyone's been paying attention to it, but Russia got real upset with our policy, you know, several weeks back, maybe a month or so by now. They had a military exercise off the coast of Alaska, and guess what? They came into the airspace, right? So then we scrambled the jets to go chase them off, right? But that was the purpose of the military exercise, was to penetrate our airspace. So if you think the governor of Alaska is like some big joke, you know, that's the front line of the Cold War for the United States, okay? That's our
border facing the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union at the time.
Right. Geographically speaking, you can actually see Alaska, and you know, Russia from Alaska, geographically speaking.
Well, correct. And the
Tina Fey just proved what an idiot she is, but she thinks she's smart.
Exactly.
She's from New York. She's a moron.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But let's be clear about a couple of things. Number one, Alaska is the only continental U.S. soil that actually was invaded in World War II. The Japanese did invade a couple of Aleutian Islands, so we actually had foreign enemy Axis power troops on our soil. And number two, because of what Tex just brought up, our bases in Alaska are always on active duty, and the governor is the commander-in-chief of those active duty bases. So, you know, that's the snow job that they did, and that's how weak and insipid the Republicans were, other than what you pointed out, Kevin, Newt Gingrich, in defending the person who they put on the bottom of the ticket in order to get our vote, okay? So even if we liked Paul Ryan, it won't work this time. But the simple fact is Paul Ryan is not Sarah Palin, and he's not attracting anybody. Like they're saying, I mean, the entire, you know, dead August news cycle has been that Paul Ryan has now, you know, made Mitt Romney a real viable player. No, he hasn't. He hasn't done anything of the sort.
Congress had an 8% approval rating. Congress's approval rating was 8%. How are you going to tell me that somebody in Congress, you know, with an 8% approval rating is going to fire up the base?
Not going to happen.
Well,
okay,
Paul Ryan is the darling of the Tea Party, though. I mean, you know that. I read that in the media today, that Paul Ryan is the darling of the Tea Party. So
how is that the case?
If
he voted for TARP and the GM bailouts, he voted for bailouts. How is he a Tea Party darling? The Tea Party is a bunch of hypocrites. That's the case.
It's true, because I read it on CBS, and those guys never lie.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Yeah.
Such a reliable story.
So here's the point. Here's the point, guys.
They determine who's a Tea Party, who has Tea Party bona fides, not us.
Exactly.
Members of the Tea Party.
Exactly.
They just tell us who our guys are.
I think it's been a while, so some of us have forgotten the Tea Party. There is no Tea Party. There never has been a Tea Party. There never will be a Tea Party. There are Tea Parties. It is a local grassroots movement. So when these people make, you know, national pronouncements and this guy's a Tea Party guy and that guy's a Tea Party guy, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. This is all local. And the fact is that they decided to appropriate the Tea Party, okay? They used the Tea Party movement to get regain their majority in 2010 and then proceeded to do nothing, you know, and crying Tan Boehner has done nothing. So
he's eliminated Tea Party districts. That's what.
Well, just remember, who was behind the scenes with the Tea Party helping them gain historic majorities? Who was that? Oh, Newt Gingrich. What was Mitt Romney doing at the same time? Writing USA Today articles about healthcare and Obamacare, how great it is.
Who came up with drill here, drill now? That was Newt Gingrich.
Exactly.
But here, let me interject this about the Tea Party movement, because I got Tea Party leaders from all over the country. The Tea Party movement has foiled the constitutional conservative movement. Most of them are 501c, and they are being attacked by the IRS. All your local Tea Parties are being attacked, unless they had a PAC instead of a 501c, which is a nonprofit. And as a 501c, I think it's three. They cannot endorse candidates.
Correct.
And that's where, like, the Chicago Tea Party, I forgot his name, Stephen Tucker, they are a PAC. And that's just like Tea Party Express.
Yep.
They can go out and attack candidates.
Mm-hmm.
But as a 501c3, you cannot attack a candidate. Yes, you can go out there and promote somebody. But right now, most of these local Tea Party movements are being attacked by the IRS because none of them, or the majority of them, have not been granted the nonprofit.
And this
standard.
Is all part of that great McCain-Feingold reform that, you know, fixed political discourse in the country and everything. I mean, it's so stupid you can't give money directly to the candidates. You have to give money to PACs. You're limited to how much you can give to the candidate, but you can give unlimited money to the PAC. What the hell is that? Thanks, McCain.
And
you're a freaking genius over there, McCain. Good idea.
And, that,
And then that hypocrite, actually, when the money was going to the PACs that were supporting Newt Gingrich and they were attacking capitalism and all that stuff, he came out there and he was railing against it. And I'm like, hey, you're the asshat that gave that to us in the first place. How dare you come out here and rail against it? This was your doing. So this is what these people do. They burn, they set your house on fire, and then they show up with a hose. They cause the problem,
and then they propose to be the solution.
Literally,
that's what my boss in D.C. said. He's like, look, here's what we do here. We start the fires and we sell everyone the water. And that's what McCain did. He's like, we got to have McCain fine with all this campaign stuff that's out of control. If we don't have McCain fine with all, you know, he was on about it for years, right? Finally, he got it through. Now we fixed our political system. Now he's out there. It's like, well, there's problems with it. There's problems. You didn't think about that before you wrote the bill, you idiot. What you just, oh, I wrote this down. I didn't think of what the next step would be or what the reaction to this would be. I mean, it's like a moron. This guy thinks he's a legislator. How long has he been there? I mean, what?
Too long.
Yeah, like the late 70s, I think he's been there. You know, it's freaking idiot. Well, he's not an idiot because I think he's dishonest. You know, John McCain, I'll tell you right now, I read your book. It's a fantastic book. And what you went through, oh, my God, that's awesome. But right now, I think you're dishonest.
That's absolutely true. And here's the problem, Go ahead, Sam.
We are fighting for our country and for our freedom right now. I don't care whatever PAC does, whatever Tea Party does. We have to take this to Tampa. And we got to shut these idiots up, and we cannot back down. Never, ever. And, I mean, I was not backing down when I was saying I was going to take my show off the air. I was going to put it in a limited mode, but the people thought they claimed victory. Your victory is in your defeat because you have energized me more than I have been energized. And we're not going to shut up for Newt Gingrich.
That's right.
And we are...
I was just going to say, Sammy, there are some people I worked with that they thought they could demoralize me into quitting. And what they realized is, oh, wait, we can only irritate him even more and make him come after us twice as hard. So, yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. I've got a caller from 918. Your mic is live. Who are you and what's on your mind?
Hi, guys. It's Holly in Oklahoma. Just sitting here listening.
Holly. Hey, Holly.
How are you?
But, I voted for Newt Gingrich when the primary came through Oklahoma, and I'm hoping that the momentum that we had in 2010 will carry to the convention is what I'm hoping.
Yep. Amen to that one. Hope so.
Absolutely. Look, that momentum will carry. We have to carry that torch. And you know, as Sammy said, he's more fired up than ever. He's like Obi-Wan Kenobi. They tried to slow him down, and he's back more powerful than they could ever imagine. The fact is that, look, what they're upset about now is that they wrote these rules, and they told us what the rules meant, and we went along with them. And then we read them, and we said, oh, wait a minute. What these guys have been telling us how this works, that's not how it works at all.
Yeah, the rules don't say any of that.
Exactly.
But I said that's true, so why don't you just go along with me? They're like, no.
Well, why do you think they got rid of Michael Steele? That's why they
fired
Michael
Steele. Well, they're making up the rules as they go.
Well, exactly. Yeah. They fired Michael Steele because he basically wanted a broker convention to happen.
Yeah, which is the way it's supposed to be. And look, and so what happened is they told us that, look, this is how it works, okay? We have a couple of debates. We have a couple of primaries. The guy that we pick wins, and then you all get in line behind him. And look, let's face it. We kind of reinforced that because that's what we've been doing. That's how we got Dole. That's how we got McCain.
I just hope it doesn't destroy the momentum that we had going. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. That's what they're trying to do.
So then they
shut down Newt Gingrich and put Ron Paul out the pasture, and we're all like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. What's going on here? And so we read the rules, and we studied, and we listened to people who know the rules, like Barbara Haney, and we picked up a copy and read it ourselves, and we looked into this, and we got people like Richard Gilbert out there suing in order to enforce the rules that the Republican Party wrote. And we're going, hey, wait a minute, this isn't how this game is played. Let's play by the rules that we all agreed to, that you lied to us about, but that are still the rules. And now they're trying to change the rules. They're trying to change the narrative.
You turn on the idiot box, you'll have no idea that there's going to be a brokered convention. Let me tell you something. It's going to happen one way or another. There's going to be basically there's two options. Okay, option one is we have the open convention, and the delegates make their voice heard, and the candidates, Dr. Gingrich, Dr. Paul, speak, and they make their case, and one of them will be the winner. Or they cheat. They shove Mitt Romney down our throats, and I assure you if they do that, it won't be a brokered convention. It will be a broken convention. They
right.
will set Tampa on fire, because let me tell you something. Some of us Tea Party people are going to get in line, but some
of us, there's
people
on the way already. I've got a friend on my list that's already on the way there, and it's kind of exciting to watch. But
yeah.
even just the trip there, it's just exciting.
So some of us are not going to go quietly. Sammy's not going to go quietly. Holly, you're not. Kevin's not. I'm not. Tex isn't. Most everybody listening isn't. And I can assure you that the Ron Paul Revolution and Campaign for Liberty are not going away quietly. So if these people cheat on national television, they're not only going to be exposed, but it is going to be explosive. Now, these guys tend to not like controversy, which is why they got with Newt Gingrich. So they're going to try to avoid that. That'll be our opportunity to actually get this done right and show
exactly.
them the door.
Use
show
their
them
fear
the door.
Of conflict and messy battles against them, because what they're going to try to do is disqualify all of these delegates, right, that aren't going to vote for Mitt Romney. And then they're going to try to do it. They do it before the convention, right? So while we're talking, I'm going to look up the convention schedule for when the Rules Committee meets and the Credentials Committee meets. It's going to be next week, right? And they're going to try to do it all quietly before the convention so they can have a flawless convention. Make some noise. Make it noisy. Make them nervous. Make them look bad. Throw mud in their eyes, right? Just, you know, scream like hell. Yell like hell. Make it something that cannot possibly be ignored. And they will listen, you know, and they don't like the controversy, so they will start compromising. These guys are good at compromise. They'll sell out the country to communists as long as they don't have to have an argument about it, right?
Yeah, these guys,
so
these guys are more flexible.
Start making them have an argument with you, and they'll completely fold like a cheap suit because they do that to Democrats all day long.
Keep in mind something about rhinos. They're more flexible than our Olympic gymnasts. Okay.
Well, that's really unfortunate because all eyes are going to be on Tampa. And they're going to see this, and then the Democrats are going to point their finger, oh, look at the Republicans. They can't even get along, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
and
then they're going to go to their convention. They're going to say, hey, let's get rid of this piece of crap Obama, who can't win, and by the way, is not even an American citizen. So we're going to teach the Democrats. They're going to see the light. And they're like, hey, let's dump this dude. If there's no better delegates, they're not an American.
Abraham Lincoln won by a broker convention. Calvin Coolidge won by a broker convention. What was wrong with them? They were two of our best presidents we've ever had.
There you go.
Eisenhower won by a broker convention, too.
Yeah.
Reagan benefited
they all
off
used to be
broker convention.
The convention actually used to be something worth watching. It was like an actual political event that people cared about. Nowadays, it's just a freaking commercial that nobody even watches. It's just garbage.
So
interesting fact here, Tex and Rex. You know, in 2006, Romney was the RGA chairman and Paul Ryan was in the House. So both of them essentially helped lose our majorities, which gave us Obama. So how is it that you're going to tell me that the two losers are going to help beat Barack Obama this time around? They're
well,
the ones that essentially gave them to us.
Let me tell you something, Kevin, because in the bureaucratic corporate world where Romney comes from and the bureaucratic corporatist jerk-offs that are running the Republican Party right now until we take it back, which we're doing, the principle of promotion operates on the idea of failing upwards. The more you suck, the more you're a company man, the more you're a yes man, the more you're a go-along, get-along guy who actually can't do and doesn't do anything, the higher up you go. Yeah, the higher up you go. So they fail upwards. That's why you got this. So the more they fail, the more prestige they get. When you talk about failure, let's remember something. It was the Tea Party that gave them back the majority that they lost in 2006 that Gingrich gave them back in 94. And then these guys, I mean, listen to this, okay? Representative McClintock of California, out there in your way, Kevin, okay, he proposed an amendment to cut $1.45 billion from the Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Plan. It was defeated 113 to 275. Where were the Republicans? All right, Representative Chaffetz of Utah tried to impose a puny $74 million cut to the Advanced Manufacturing Program. okay? That means just keeping the spending at the previous year's levels, okay? It was defeated 140 to 245, okay? So a measly 1% across the board cut in energy and water, you know, projects and boondoggles was pushed back by a vote of 157 to 261. If these guys got their majority for the Tea Party, what the hell have they done since? They've done nothing. So quit believing the lie, and don't believe for a second that they have this confidence that they're going to win, because they're not going to win. They cannot stop this from happening.
Well, even
Go ahead.
You got that moron Jason Chaffetz bragging about, oh, I'm a 100% conservative. Look at my voting record. It's like, dude, you're supporting Mitt Romney. That disqualifies you automatically. I don't even care about your record.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Joe Scarborough, who was a Republican congressman from Florida, was saying early in the year, he was like, I don't know a single person in the Republican Party leadership that thinks that Mitt Romney can win, right? He said, all they think that's happening, and I heard Charles Krauthammer say the same thing. He said, they both said that the reason that they like Romney is because they think he won't cause waves and they can win back the Senate, right? Well, the problem is Romney has proven to be such a disaster that they don't think they can win the Senate, and they started to get concerned that they weren't going to be able to win the House. That's how bad Romney is, right? So
right.
If they can't get the Senate out of this thing, you know, and they're losing Senate candidates left and right because of the Tea Party movement, you know, see Ted Cruz and, you know, what happened to Lugar with Murdoch, right, and, you know, a couple other people across the country, they're losing rhinos left and right. And, you know, what you don't realize is if they don't have a rhino, that's still a loss for them because it's like, oh, God, I'm going to have these guys who are actually coming and they, like, believe in things. You know, like the Constitution, and they want to, like, balance the budget. All these Gingrich clones. This whole place is coming a cropper with Gingrich clones everywhere, you know. So they're upset. And so as far as they can tell, this Romney guy, he's not leading them to victory. So now what they're going to have to do is try to see if they can roll out Jeb Bush. It's like, well, you know, look, I'm here, and, you know, Romney didn't work, and, oh, I didn't really want to run because, you know, my father and my brother have already been president, but, you know, because of the country, I'll run. You know, thanks, Jeb. Look, I think you're a nice guy and everything, but, you know, we're not a monarchy, so, you know, just sit down and go away. Let's talk to John Sununu some more.
Haven't we had enough of the Bushes already? I mean, I respect President Bush fully, but, God, seriously, I mean, he's expanded government more than any Republican I know in recent history besides his dad.
Yep. I mean, look, let's be honest. Those Republicans, those Kennedys are really annoying because they keep turning up like, hey, I'm a Kennedy, so I should get elected. They're like, no, go away. You're like completely terrible. Remember Caroline Kennedy? She came up. She's like, hey, my last name's Kennedy, so I should be a senator. And they, like, interviewed her, and she's like, turns out you don't actually know anything. We knew that, like, 40 years ago. Same thing with these Bushes. Like, hey, my last name's Bush, so, you know, everybody step aside. I'm going to be running for this one. I don't think it works that way.
Well, the only reason it somewhat works that way, okay, and it was brought up in chat, and is the simple fact that most people who have a right to vote don't pay attention to anything. They turn on the idiot box,
Nike.
And then they vote for the name they recognize.
They vote
that's
Nike.
Why.
Hey,
that's
I bought
right.
those shoes before. Those were good shoes.
And the idiot bought
that Bush brand. They weren't all that good.
Which is why when you have a Congress with an 8% approval rating, you figure, well, clearly at the next election, 92% of them are going to get booted out. And that never happens because everybody says, yes, Congress sucks. Hey,
well, mine is
my
good.
Guy's been pretty good. No, your guy's a friggin' jerk, too. So just look
exactly.
to your own house. And if he brings pork back to you and you go, hey, you know, he's been good for us. He's been bringing the pork back to our district, so we're going to reelect him. Then you're a thief. If you vote for the guy who brings money back to your district, you're a friggin' thief and you're the problem in this country. Just because you happen to elect someone to rob on your behalf, okay, and because it's, quote, legal, doesn't make it right.
Exactly.
Well, the other thing is, Rex, is that, you know, they'll have, like, a big rhino guy up there selling them out left and right, but then he comes back home and he talks all the right words, God, country, family, you know, all this kind of stuff, patriotism, you know, whatever. And then people don't look at the record because, you know, oh, God, I'd have to, like, do some work on my own, and I'd have to get up from the TV, and I would start learning, and it's hard to learn something.
15 minutes of research, literally 15 to 30 minutes of research on your congressman will reveal whether he is a real conservative or a freaking rhino that's been selling you out. And if he's a freaking rhino that's been selling you out, you pick up the freaking phone, you call your neighbor who lives in your neighborhood who's a Republican, is like, hey, why is this guy selling us out? Call people. And then you convene a meeting, you get at the bar, and you start, like, drinking really heavy, and you start swearing, just like, ah, oh, this guy's a jerk, you know? And they're like, who are we going to run? And you find someone.
Yeah,
know?
Just make sure Just make sure you're not the last guy to show up to that meeting, because A, you'll end up with the bill for all the beer, and B, you'll probably end up being the guy nominated for office. Okay, so just be careful with that. Be always show up early for those meetings. All right, folks, we're top of the hour. We've been talking about a broker convention for the past hour, and I'm going to throw the number out there for callers that we haven't heard before. Call the number is 646-649-1013. And I'm going to repeat it again slowly for all you mitwits, rhino bots, Romney heads, and other assorted ilk that have been the cause of the problem in this country. Put on your big girl panties, sack up, call in. If you think Rhino Romney's the guy, give me a reason. Call in, you sissies. 646-649-1013. Go, Tex.
I would love for them to come in. I would love for them to come in.
There's only one Romney supporter on Blog Talk Radio I know about, and I think I've sworn at that guy so many times, he's a little gun-shy now, you know. So.
Here, let me give a little shout-out, because I need to bow out and go eat some dinner and get ready for my show. Please keep listening to Rex and Tex. They are the most awesome gentlemen out there, and I love them with all my heart, and we will be seeing them in Tampa. And,
absolutely, Sammy.
And we are going to Tampa, and we're not going to shut up. My radio is not going to shut up. Even though I was on the verge of shutting it down completely, you piss me off, you make me fight mad, and we're ready to carry the torch all the way to Tampa and never shut up. I will be doing a show nightly now because of a couple of idiots out there. I'm not going to give you any kind of qualifications or any kind of ID. You have to stand by Newt Gingrich. And never shut up. And do not cave in to the mitwits. If you cave in to the mitwits, most likely you never were a real, true, blue Newt supporter. And that's what I'm going to tell you right now. That's my own personal opinion. And we will go to Tampa, and if we have to accept Ron Paul, I will vote for Ron Paul, but I will not vote for Mitwit. Mitwit cannot beat Barack Obama, plain and simple. And God bless our great republic, and God bless you all, and I love you all very much.
Well, thank you very much, Sammy. And we particularly appreciate you for dialing in, and it's good to hear that you're going to be back up, certainly at least to the convention, because I'll tell you, after our show last night, Rex and I were on the phone. We're like, well, what do we do now? It's like, oh, I guess we can't dial into Sammy. I mean, that's just become, like, so standard procedure. It's like, I don't know. What am I going to do this evening? I don't know.
Yeah, well, this idiot, and I'm not going to give him any claim to fame on the Internet, Blog Talk Radio, fired me up and said I was irrelevant now. Well, we'll see how irrelevant I am.
Well, two things, Sammy. One, I'm going to thank that idiot because he pissed you off, which was a big mistake. Because apparently pissing off Sammy just makes him stronger. So please just keep pissing Sammy off. It seems to work out real well. We appreciate it. And secondly, I want to thank you for using the word gentleman to describe Tex and Rex. And by gentleman, I assume you meant, you know, irreverent riffraff, because clearly gentlemanly behavior may be exhibited on your show to some degree. But here, we're completely off our rockers.
No, you're allowed to go off your rockers, and you're allowed to go off your rockers now on my show. I'm not worried about it anymore. And we can fire up the mics, and Kim and Tim
be
and
yourself.
Just be yourself. That's all you can be.
As long as the GD bomb is not used there and the F bomb, please keep those two off the show.
Definitely.
Absolutely, Sammy. But we will keep on rocking and keep on knocking because I am fired up and I am mad as hell. And the guy's got the FBI coming to him. I filed a local police report last night, and filed a report with the FBI. And so the guy has to be squinching in his britches right now and maybe having a dump.
He might be pulling a Mitt Romney shart. Yeah, that's right. Might be sharting. Look who's sharting now.
I'm glad you did it, Sammy. I'm glad you did it. I was pushing for you to do it. I'm very glad you did it, man.
Absolutely.
And
nobody should put up with this crap.
No, I don't need to put up with that crap. And, I mean, these guys are coming at me from every direction. Anybody can put up a blog page and put whatever they want on there. And if I had the money, I would be suing them right now. I don't have the money. I mean, I'm in my last days, and these idiots want to come at me. Let them come at me. They can put whatever they want to, and I will not give their name credit on the show, on this show or on my show. But we got to keep focused on Newt Gingrich and not let these idiots take us off our support. And Newt Gingrich is our man, and we're going to Tampa for Newt Gingrich. And God bless you all, and we love you all, and we'll see you on the flip side in about an hour, or a little bit less than an hour.
Sounds good, Tammy. We'll see you there. That's on Blog Talk Radio, coming up right after Tex and Rex at 10, and it's Conservative Talk Radio 1, right, Sammy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the actual name of the show, let me give you the actual name of the show. It's on all my pages. Saturday Night Special. Show starts at 10 p.m. Call-in number, blah, blah, blah. 1 million patriots in Tampa for a broker convention.
Perfect. So we got a 38 special in AC/DC's Back in Black. You are definitely fired up, and we're gonna hop on there and get fired up with you, Sammy.
And absolutely. I mean, I love that song Back in Black, and that's what I am. I'm Back in Black, and I'm fired up and pissed off.
Well, AC/DC has been uniting rock and roll and country listeners for over a generation. Everybody loves AC/DC.
Yep. Highway to hell, baby.
We're on a highway to Tampa, and we're going to make it hell for Mitt Romney.
If you've ever been to a professional football game, whether I have here in Jacksonville with the Jacksonville Jaguars or back home in Atlanta with the Atlanta Falcons, they always play that Back in Black.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they do out there in L.A. or they do in New York.
We don't have a football team out here in L.A. We have USC Trojans.
Do you know the significance, Sammy, of Back in Black? Do you know what Back in Black actually means?
What's that?
Well, my girlfriend told me this, the girlfriend I had in D.C., big friend of Howard Dean, but the band had, after they lost their lead singer because he died, and they replaced him with, like, his brother or something.
Brian Johnson is the replacement for...
correct.
Yeah, exactly. So when they lost their lead singer, they lost everything, and they had all these debts and everything, so they were in the red. Once they got this guy and they recorded the album, they started making money again. So they were out of the red, and they were back in black. So that's what the song's about.
Yeah, I think it was also a nod to the, because they were kind of in mourning also.
Because
Bon Scott died, and also, generally speaking, when you lose your front man in the band, I mean, you can often replace your instrumentals, but when you lose your front man, if they have a unique voice, it's very hard to have an incarnation. I mean, Van Halen managed to pull it off with Sammy Hagar, Black Sabbath.
But that was a damn near close-run thing.
Yeah, Black Sabbath managed to pull it off with Dio, but very few bands have done it. However, Brian Johnson came in on Back in Black, and he put AC/DC back on the map in a way that they'd never been on there before, and the fans received them really well. And what this proves to you, okay, you know why we're talking about rock and roll right now. Well, it's real simple. When things look bad, when things look down, when it looks as if, hey, you know what, we lost the lead, we lost the guy, we can't make it happen anymore, well, grab yourself down deep in your soul, stand up and get back to work, because it can be done. So just because they've shoved Mitt Romney down our throat, they've given us this front man who can't carry a tune, and we've got two that can sing real well, okay?
Absolutely.
We're going to go down there at that convention. We're going to put up a front man. He's not going to have black hair from Massachusetts. He's going to have white hair either from Texas or from here in Virginia or down in Georgia, and that's going to be our singer. That's the one who's going to put the Republican Party back in black. Okay.
There you go.
Because right now this party is friggin' pink. Okay, it's a pink party. It's tender and raw and soft in the middle. It's a bunch of sissies running around telling us what we need to do. We're the heart of the party. We're coming back in black. We're gonna be on Sammy's at 10 o'clock, back in black, and we're gonna go to Tampa back in black, and we're gonna make this Republican Party matter again.
Yeah, we need to start finding our leadership and having real uncomfortable conversations with them, making them feel the pain. Because we're out here, we're feeling the pain every day, and they're out there, oh, no, it's all fine, it's awesome. No, it's not awesome, it sucks, you're terrible, you suck at your job, why do you have a job, why did you said you were going to do this, have you done this? No, you suck, you're gone, you know? Make them uncomfortable.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't know what a real job is, you know? In the real world, you can lose your job by lying that much.
Exactly. Who gets away with this stuff? It's because we're all busy making the money that they misappropriate from us and tax the hell out of us so that they can give it to their friends. You know, hey,
exactly.
Okay, so I've been real busy while things were good. You know what? I'm not going to pay too much attention to what's going on because everything's good. Well, everything sucks now, okay? So now it's time to stand to be counted. What in the hell have you been doing for the last 20 years? You, senator from whatever the heck state it is who's been around forever, you know? You've been selling me out, haven't you? You know, we're going to throw you out of the meeting. That's okay. There's 50 of me in this freaking meeting. We all have uncomfortable questions for you. Oh, are you going to throw us all out of the party? You still want my vote, knucklehead.
Oh, let's be clear about that.
Hey, Rex.
Yes,
I mean, Tex, let me interject this here.
No, that was Rex talking.
What have I been doing since 1981? I have been fighting for Ronald Reagan. I voted for Ronald Reagan. What did I do to promote him? I have been out there talking with people that were getting disillusioned with the Iran-Contra and all this other crap. And then when 2007 came and I saw Barack Obama arising to the Democratic Party, I have been out there speaking up, and you can look on all my pages and look at all the videos that I have posted. I have never shut up, but now I will not post another video because of what Fox News and everybody else out there. The only videos I will post are Barbara Haney's and a few other awesome patriots out there.
Have you seen Resolute to Tampa, by the way? Sammy, have you seen that Resolute to Tampa? Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Powerful.
I have been here fighting for my whole adult life for constitutional conservatism. I have never, ever shut up. Yes, I really got vocal when Facebook opened up to early people. Originally, Facebook came on for college people. Then they made it open to the general public. And I'm sorry. I am not going back down, and I'm not going to shut up now. I'm tired of the blogs that are trying to smear me. Whoop-dee-doo. You can go out and write a blog. A blog does not mean anything. you give me something from one of the lamestream media. Grow some balls.
Yeah, well, you know, George Carlin, he had a book, he called it Brain Droppings, you know? Oh, I'm going to go read someone's brain droppings on their blog. Like, I don't care about your stupid blog. You say whatever you want about me. And I'll tell you what, no matter what you say, far worse has been said about me. And you know what? It's all true. I don't even care. Whatever. Yeah, I'm a jerk. I don't care. I'll tell you to your face.
Exactly.
And if we were hanging out, I'd be exactly the same way because I don't change. I'm always this way. Go ask
exactly.
my friends.
Well, would y'all like to hear from my awesome daughter?
Sure.
Absolutely. No.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go, Newt, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks. Hey, absolutely.
Yeah.
Your father's awesome, and he's leading the charge for this movement, so he's making history.
And I will go down, I will not go down in flames, I will go down in history when I pass away. And my daughter loves what I do. My sons love what I do. My wife loves what I do. And so I am not going to shut up. I am not going to back down. I mean, you have pissed me off, you mitt twits out there. When you want to attack me, you only make me more vigorous in making sure your candidate is not our presumptive nominee. But God bless you all, and we will see you on my show in less than an hour.
We'll catch up with you there, Sammy. Back in black. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
That was Sam Sanford. Join us on his show starting at 10 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. And I got a caller, 513. Your mic is live. How are you?
I'm good, folks. How are you? Hey, Tex. Hey, Rex.
Hey, how's it going, Robert?
Hey, Robert. Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right. This is Robert Jetter. Robert Jetter, Bars Logic Political Talk, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Sunday through Thursday. Robert, what's on your mind?
Well, just, you know, calling in, I was just here shortly, and thank you very much for letting me in, and it's good to talk to other people who are on the conservative conversation, and I like to just say part of the group, part of the Patriot Journalist Network, it's great to have you guys on, and, you know, also I'd like to say about Mark Prasik's show, live video chat, also part of the conservative conversation, and I just want to hear what's going on tonight. I would log in to the chat, but I'm unable because I actually have something running, which I can't have it running at the same time. So that I was like, well, I'm going to call in and, you know, chime in and see what's going on for tonight. As I said, I just got in here, so and I was listening to Sammy. I'm very aware of the blog that he's talking about that's disparaging his name. What I find interesting the most about it is that the very people who are, you know, disparaging Sammy, obviously don't feel that they can back up what they consider the truth with their own name. So they have to hide.
Are they Romney supporters, or are they pretending to be Newt supporters?
Well, they're claiming to be Newt supporters.
Because a Newt supporter would totally attack Sammy.
Right, and they're attacking Sammy in the way that they say, well, you know, Sammy wouldn't be someone who, you know, Newt would like to have his support or something like that. You know, but, you know, we know how the Zelensky tactics are, When you can't attack the message, you try to attack the messenger because what that does is, you know, you're trying to invalidate the message by denigrating the messenger. And that's, you know.
Look, Robert, when you resort to ad hominem attacks, it's because you actually had no argument. So that's the only option you have is to make a lot of noise and hope that the overwhelming voice wins the case because you have no argument. Here's just a simple fact for people to tell me that, well, Newt wants you guys to get behind Mitt Romney. It's time to unite the party, give up this whole broker dimension. You're helping Barack Obama. If that's the case, okay, why attack Sam Sanford? The only reason
yeah.
is being
they're trying to distract us.
Yeah.
They're trying to distract us off the message.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's a
yeah.
distraction, and the only reason he's being attacked is because guess what, folks?
He's making
a
difference.
We're winning. We're
yeah.
winning.
He's making a difference. Yeah.
That's right.
Making a difference.
Well, you know, that's what they say in law. If you're a lawyer and you're arguing a case before the judge, if the facts support your case, use the facts. If the facts don't support your case, pound the table. So they're pounding the table because they know we're right. And the other thing is, Newt Gingrich said to support Romney. All right, I don't work for Newt Gingrich. You know, it's not like the dude's ever cut me a check for anything. As far as I can tell, Newt Gingrich works for me because I'm sending that guy money. So, you know, what he tells me, message not received. I don't work for him, at least, you know, not yet. But I don't work for the guy, you know, so he can tell me a million things. He can call me personally. Hey, it's good to hear from you, but, you know, I'm going to make you president, and I don't care what you think about Mitt Romney or how he's the nominee. I'll check you later, Newt. Goodbye.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know, that's right. And folks, the important thing here, okay, and the reason Robert's on the air, the reason we're on the air, the reason Sammy's back in black on the air, okay, is because even though right now we seem to kind of be thumping our chest, we're talking about making a difference, we're talking about winning, this is not the time to put your feet up and relax. I know that the end of August, that's what everybody likes to do, you know, grab a little sweet tea, sit on the porch, or go to the beach, relax. This is not the time to relax. The Republic is at stake. This is your country. And somewhere down the road, someone's going to ask you, where were you back in 2012? I stood up. Well, thank you for saving our republic. Or you're going to say, I did nothing. And they're going to say, well, damn you for killing the country. So stand up now more than ever. It is not time to let up. It's time to put on more pressure. So Twitter, Facebook, phone calls. I think we're probably almost a little too late to write letters to the delegates because they're probably leaving this week. So Facebook, email, Twitter, phone calls. Talk to the delegates. Pound the Mitt people. Pound the media. Make the noise. Because let's understand something. The open convention is going to happen. America's going to go into shock. Not because this hasn't happened before. Not because this isn't normal. But because when you're sitting there being fed information by the idiot box, it's going to be outside of that narrative. It's going to make you uncomfortable. Prepare the country for what's coming. Because this is democracy in action. This is how a democratic process works. We are using a democratic process in our republic. Make the noise. Be heard. Get on Sammy's. Grab some friends. Bring them in. Look at our archives. Listen to Robert. Get it done this week because now's the time. And don't think that just because on August 26th, a week from tomorrow, the convention starts that it's over. That's the time to get even louder because the delegates have to know and the media has to know that we don't want Mitt Romney. It's that serious because November doesn't matter. The election
exactly.
is going to be won or lost the week after next. Don't fool yeah. yourself into any kind of bullshit that November matters. November doesn't friggin' matter. Next week, okay, if we get the right nominee, we win in November. If we get the wrong nominee, we lose in November. It all happens in Tampa. Get
yep.
there.
Yeah.
Whether you're there in
and
person
this stuff,
or whether you're there.
This stuff about. Yeah. We got to support the nominee. Okay, yeah, okay. But we don't have a nominee yet. That happens in Tampa. November is in November. So we're talking about what we do in Tampa to get the absolute best nominee who is absolutely going to win because we have to win. We all know we have to win. And Mitt Romney does not win elections. Look at how many times he's run and that single time that he won and how he had to run from
exactly
trying to from his second term because he could not win a second term, right?
Well,
you can't have this guy.
In this
he
primary.
Can't be at the top of our ticket.
And look how he conducted himself in the primary, in the primary race. Look how he conducted himself. Look how, he said, oh, I don't have any control about what these super PACs say about the candidates. You know, we don't have any communication. We know that's bunk. We know that, you
but
know,
the other, but the
idea is the way he's using his money.
You know, but the
and then look what he did to fellow conservatives. Every unfair attack was it was open season on every Republican running against Mitt Romney. He even used Nancy Pelosi's bullshit lies against Newt Gingrich in Florida, adopted them whole cloth. The man picked up the weapons of the left and used them against a fellow conservative, thus breaking
right.
William Buckley's 11th commandment, right? But also he used them because he's a creature of the left. And then
right.
once he became the presumptuous nominee and thought that, or at least the media, you know, he crowned himself like Napoleon, I'm the nominee. Of course, he crowned himself back in August of 2011 that he was the nominee. right? Then all of a sudden, oh, well, we can't attack Obama.
Right, exactly,
you know,
exactly.
We got to go kid gloves, you know, just got to give him a few pats on the back. I think he's a good guy, but, you know, I don't think he's doing that great a job, but, you know, I don't know, I could be wrong. What do you guys think? I mean,
yeah,
what
well,
exactly? It's bullshit, and you know it. We all
yeah.
know it's bullshit.
Well,
that's
here's, here's another example, okay? You guys all remember Newt's 2012 CPAC speech, right? All you guys remember that speech, how good
mm-hmm.
it was?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I turned on Fox right after that speech, and it happened to be the five on the show, okay? And Andrea
yeah.
Santeros was in D.C. that day with, you know, watching the CPAC and everything, and she blatantly lied, saying, oh, well, me and James Rosen were standing right here and looking at each other and saying to ourselves, did Newt just give up on conservatism? How the hell did Newt just give up on conservatism when he was getting rousing ovation for everything he said, saying he would, you know, get rid of 40% of Obama's government 2 hours after he's sworn in? That's not giving up on conservatism. That's being a bold conservative in
yeah.
my mind.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Did the news media just give up on reporting facts?
Exactly.
Yes, they actually
It's like the bullshit that they spew. And then Eric Bolin on Twitter having the nerve to keep going on Newt Gingrich as
yep.
recent as last week.
Yep.
Bringing
Kevin,
up that guy.
Why blast on Newt Gingrich now if you're supposedly, and I like when I think that was Dan or Tex who said presumptuous, and
yep.
I think that's a very good word to put it, very good way to put it, the presumptuous nominee, and that, yeah, I mean, if there's no shot at this broker convention, why blast Newt now? You
well,
know,
exactly.
because it's out there, they know it. That, you know, that's why they waited, they expedited, you know, announcing who the VP pick's going to be.
Right.
You know. And
fear. It's fear. It's fear, Robert.
Right.
Well, Robert, you're 100% right. It's absolute fear. That's why they're still going after him, because they're afraid of what he's about to do. And Kevin, you're 100% right. Tex, you're right that they're not even attacking Romney. And let me put it to you this way. The five, okay, the five, this insipid banter between these four morons. Look,
yeah,
Bob Beckel is an entertaining guy. He's completely wrong. I completely disagree with him. But let me tell you something. Those other four morons make Bob Beckel look like a fucking genius. Okay, so excuse my language. But it's just Fox News and the five is so friggin' ridiculous, because they have become the Mitt Romney propaganda network. And unfortunately, too many conservatives and Tea Party people are still watching that banal crap, being dazzled by the eye candy and the fast-moving graphics, and not paying attention to what's really going on. Turn off the Fox News. Get the Cheetos out of your mouth. I got upset, but some people got upset with me yesterday for the Cheetos. So keep the Cheetos. Get the potato chips out of your mouth. And stop watching TV. Call your delegates. Get off the couch. Put down the remote. Pick up a phone. Get on a Twitter. Get on Facebook. Do something. Make some noise, okay? Sam Sanford.
Hashtag convention.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Start, great hashtag.
I highly recommend ordering some barbecue beef ribs, getting some beer, doing some hardcore reading on the internet. You know, find the conservative conversation that's going on. Get plugged into that. Listen to Blog Talk Radio and get yourself informed.
I'm telling you guys, if hashtag broker convention trends on Twitter, I swear to God, the GOP will shit itself if it starts trending.
Yeah.
The internet is such a powerful tool. I've been trying to trend it all day. I'm trying to tell people to get it on there. I mean, Newt has the most followers on Twitter, you know, from conservatives. 1.4 million people.
Yep.
Okay, I mean, the guy is blowing away the field. Obviously, Newt is TCOT. So if he's TCOT, he can also be broker convention.
Well, what you do is, all you people listening, if you don't have a Twitter account, get yourself a Twitter account. It's really easy. And then you get on there and you start tweeting. You just go look for, like, Laura Ingraham, Rush Limbaugh, and all these other fools, and Fox News, and, you know, Barack Obama, and knucklehead. David the Eyebrow, Axelrod, you know. And you get them and you start writing, Mitt Romney doesn't have the votes. Newt Gingrich is the best conservative candidate we could have in November. Hashtag brokered convention.
Yes.
And every single human being.
It will trend. I'm telling you, the minute they see it trending in the top 10 on Twitter, I'm telling you, the amount of users on that network, they will shit it.
They will
yeah,
be so
yeah.
scared to
it,
see that.
It's a great noise to make. So just hashtag broker convention, one word. And we've got a caller, gentlemen.
And for you computer guys, hashtag is also the pound sign. And for those of you who are not literate in either Twitter or computer language, it's otherwise known as the number symbol, which is the looks like a little
tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's on no spaces. So hashtag or pound sign and broker convention, one word. We got a caller from area code 925. Your mic has been live. Who are you? What's on your mind?
Hey, this is Paul.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Paul, how you doing? I'm alive and well. I'm actually on my way down to pick up some food for my my wife's 50th birthday, but I was listening in on this, and boy, man, talk about some passion. I'm loving it.
Well, Paul, I'm sorry I didn't attack you for being a bad guy at first, because I know that's our standard procedure,
and I
apologize for...
Yeah, well, of course, if I came on and Sammy was still there, I'm sure he would have said something, but that's okay. Passion of the love. Hey, November, my line for November is, and I say, I'm going to vote for Romney in November. It doesn't matter about November, like you guys are saying. And we always get this attack. Well, if you're not going to vote for Romney, who are you going to vote for, Obama? Well, and my stand pat cut to paste line is, I'll vote for a rusted beer can over Obama. It won't matter if we don't have news.
Yeah,
boom.
Exactly.
It shuts them up every freaking time. Well, we can't have news. How are you going to get news? And you start shooting them the URLs of the facts on the delegates. And then you get this, really? Really? And then you can and it's two quick ones. Rusted beer can, here's the facts. And that's how
well,
it works
here's
for
the,
me.
Here's the bottom line, guy. Here's the bottom line, okay? And I'll use the establishment words against them, okay? They have said before that the number one unifier for the Republican Party is Barack Obama himself, okay? If that's the case, then what the hell is wrong with the broker convention? We're all against Obama, every single one of us. Not one of us has said, I support Obama, okay? So what is wrong with having a broker convention? We're all going to vote against Obama, so there's nothing wrong with it. Other than
the guy who can win.
Exactly. The GOP establishment is just scared that the games will end. That is all.
Well, let me put it this way. That's a great point, Kevin. You're absolutely right. I like Paul's pithy way of putting that out to people who are conservative who think it has to be Mitt Romney. But look, the simple fact is the GOP games are coming to an end no matter what, broker convention or not, because one of two things is going to happen. We're going to have the open convention, and we're going to get a better nominee. Hopefully it's Speaker Newt Gingrich. Maybe it's Dr. Ron Paul. Either way, we're getting a better guy than Mitt Romney. If that doesn't happen, and they force Mitt Romney, and they cheat, and they lie.
I'm going to be so fucking pissed off. Sorry, I dropped an F-bomb, but it's my show. I'm going to be so fucking pissed off, I don't know what I'm going to do.
This party's dead. This party goes the way of the Whigs,
oh,
and it's not because
it's
of
dead.
Us. We're going to go find some other home because they have killed the party if they do this. They have killed the
they
party.
Killed
so
the
listen
country.
Up.
No. They killed the country if they do this.
Right.
Not just the party, the country.
Yeah,
they
that's a very
country.
Good point. Exactly. Yeah, this isn't just about, the Republican Party, and I know everyone here knows that. You know, it's about America itself because look at the times we're in. I have never, in the 30 years that I've been following politics, and yeah, I've been doing that since I was 10, but I've never seen an election where the presumptive nominee, especially in the Republican Party, has been so railed against as in this time. And one of the reasons I believe that this is so is because Sean Hannity finally got it right and said this is the most important election of our lifetime. We cannot afford to blow it with a Romney. We can't afford like we did with a McCain and like we did with a Dole. You know, those times, while they're important, they're not as historic as now. It was important. So,
well,
Robert,
at this point, we've figured out the trend, right? All these rhinos are like, oh, the reason we lost in 64, like they're going back to freaking 64. The reason we lost in 64 is because Barry Goldwater was like this radical guy who wanted to limit government and cut taxes. No, the reason Barry Goldwater lost is because Robert Kennedy was assassinated, right? And everybody rallied around the Democrat. And then guess who they rallied around? A Texas Democrat, right? Okay, so essentially a conservative Democrat, so they thought. It turns out Lyndon Johnson was some kooky you know, Roosevelt liberal, but everybody seems to think, oh, it's Texas. Oh, they got to be conservative down there. Yeah, we are, but, you know, our politicians, we got a few knuckleheads, you know, so you guys got to start. You can't just see Texas and start thinking, oh, it's probably a conservative. No, you got to do your freaking homework on this, right? But then now we have a track record, right? So we start running conservatives, and the rhinos start coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, that can never win because of Barry Goldwater, right? Well, it turns out Reagan wins, and Reagan freaking dominates. I mean, you know, Walter Mondale, all he got was the District of Columbia, which is irrelevant, and, you know, Minnesota. And then he ran again for Senate in Minnesota. He finally lost that state, too. So basically the guy got no states, as far as I'm concerned. You know, and what an ass-kicking that was. And I'm just going to give, you know, a shout-out to Dennis Miller because this is hilarious. But, you know, what an ass-kicking that was that night in 1984 because, you know, when we all went to bed, like, Minnesota had, like, two delegates, right, that he got, or two electors. And when you think about it, that's only two more than I had. I didn't even run, you know, so that's really got to, you know.
That's what New Jersey did to Barack Obama. It's what he would do to Barack Obama. If he has his hands on him, all he needs is his hands on him in a debate, and he will destroy Obama. He will expose him to the nation. He will win 50-0. I guarantee it.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. We could be winning this thing 65-35, right?
Exactly.
Or more.
Romney,
you know, if we had a real candidate. Now we're eking out with Mitt. Yeah. And Mitt's at 47% in the general popular vote, and Barack Obama's only at 45%. Well, guess what, shitheads? We don't vote as a nation in some big, you know, lottery.
Exactly.
We vote by state, right? So what matters are the swing states, and Romney is losing in those. So the media,
right,
which is liberal Democrat, has a vested interest in making sure that Obama runs against Romney, is playing up how Romney is ahead in the national poll. Well, the national poll.
What they're trying to do on the polls for Romney is they're only looking at polls where his numbers are close, are leaning ahead, or are ahead. They don't report where he's getting the shit kicked out of him. Of course not,
no.
Because that doesn't fit their predetermined condition they're trying to market. I want to come back to what I think what we're talking about here is really a perfect storm between a number of different things. One is, for many years, and we've talked about the internet and the impact that it's having on the communications of what's really going on. And how the conservatives are using this medium to bind together and really discover each other. Okay, we never had that opportunity in these previous elections. Yeah, it was there, but the maturity of it and the pervasiveness of this internet and Twitter just simply was not there. It now is, and we have instant communication around all these little factoids that add up because now we have a lot of binds around these little things. They're bringing them together, like this lawsuit, the lawsuit that Richard's guy is bringing together. Nobody reports on that, but when we talk about it through Twitter and through Facebook, et cetera, we think about this together, and we now recognize and understand what the significance of this is. It means that the delegates can actually do the job that the Founding Fathers intended them to do, meaning vote for the right person to run the country, not for who can market and buy them. Okay. Now, the next piece is that lawsuit that has not been picked up on by even some of the subliminal media that was, I think it was Tex Rex or Ron or one of you guys had talked about that I'd like to echo out again for some thought on, is the RNC is looking at that because that's how they will remove Barack Obama with the free delegates to vote and put Hillary there. It's not that the RNC would say knee-jerk and put Hillary there because we get Newt out of Tampa. If they're looking at that lawsuit that, so they could do it straight up, just like we're looking at the lawsuit so our delegates can do it straight up, but we have the opposite effect on our elitist leadership. They want to shove the guy down our face and hide that where we want to expose it, and the RNC wants it because they know Obozo's toast. And he's doing the wrong things. Okay? So anyway,
yeah.
And the other perfect storm of this is Ron Paul's vision of getting the delegates and winning those is now at a zenith, and it's coming forward that he's won enough of them to cause a perfect storm element to
come to this point in time with the communication, the lawsuits coming together. So this is a unique point in history that we're seeing with all of these things coming together. And I am just, like, stoked over this whole thing. Now, that stoked term, right? I know it dates me a little bit, but it's like I get this agitation of excitement.
No, I get stoked
from this.
Time to time myself, so you're good.
Hey, Paul, we're starting the Sammy show tonight with Back in Black, so we're going back. We're all stoked.
Yeah. I'm totally stoked, man. But Mr. Hand.
It's going to be a fun historic ride, guys, the next week. It's going to be a fun historic ride.
That's
say
right.
Oh, no, this is going to be just sweet. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I saw people, I go check the Ron Paul site from time to time. I have to tell you, when Gingrich was bowing out, right, or at least suspending his campaign, I jumped on the Paul site. I was like, these Paul guys, they are not going to quit, right? So what is the juice that's keeping them going? Because I got to share that juice with the Gingrich people. I believe in Gingrich, and so I started reading their site, learning all their stuff, learning about the delegates, getting all this information, and I started cross-fertilizing Gingrich, you know, and, you know, trying to get Gingrich people going. So what the Ron Paul group has been doing is fantastic, and look, without the two teams working together, there's no way I think we could have done this, but this has been the perfect storm, and I'm excited. So when I was at Ron Paul's site today, you have all the Romney people, the Acorn guys, whoever they are, saying, well, there was a lot of enthusiasm before, but it looks like it's just not going to happen. You can't beat the RNC, and you can't beat the GOP, and then all these people are saying, I decided I'm not going to Tampa because Ron Paul is frugal with his money, and it would cost me X number of dollars to go, and so I'm going to be frugal with my money like Ron Paul. And, I mean, how bullshit is that, you know? I mean, literally, this is what they're reduced to. But let me tell you something. They wouldn't even bother with that site if it didn't matter. But it matters, you know, because they're losing. And so I'm excited. Every time I see that, I get happy. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm winning. Look at this idiot. He had to type this crap, you know.
Yeah,
Romney paid some guy to create a login and type this garbage for him, and he's still losing.
Well, they have nothing to stand on. And the point that Paul made is actually very, very important. The technology that's at play in this election wasn't even at play in 2008. I mean, who was on Twitter in 2008? It was not nearly in the numbers that it is now.
Exactly.
So this, what's that?
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's a very powerful tool, and trending brokered convention is a very powerful idea. If we do that, we'll actually make some noise. And the fact is
yep.
that most of us thought we were isolated and alone. And which is why we always capitulated and voted for the guy that they shoved down our throats. Now that with Twitter and Facebook and Blog Talk Radio, we know we are not alone. And let's be clear about something. Not only are we not alone, we are the majority. There are more of us than there are of any other camp. And when I say us, I'm talking about that perfect storm of Tea Party, Campaign for Liberty, conservative, Christian values voters, the entire gamut that is anti-socialist, communist Obama. And so we have to stand together and make sure that we put up a nominee who actually expresses most of our values. Mitt Romney doesn't express any of our values, and we won't vote for him. He will lose. So this is a very powerful tool. And to keep in mind what Tex was talking about, this is not a popular democracy. The majority doesn't carry the presidential election. We have an electoral system for the very specific reason that if it was a popular democracy, every single year, New York City and Los Angeles would decide who your president is. Okay, we have
well,
a system that works. Work the system.
Yeah, I just want to make a point about democracy versus republic. When Rome fell from a republic into democracy, that was the day it started its total downward spiral into anarchy. And famous philosophers have said that democracy is the final step to despotism, or however you pronounce that. It is the final step before anarchy when you have pure democracy.
Well, and another thing to know about Rome is a lot of people don't know this, but there actually were two political parties in Rome. They were the Populares and the Optimates. Populares are the popular party, right? Or the party of, quote, the people, and the Optimates are the party of the, quote, best men. So they're sort of the aristocrats, right? So for Democrats, you know, playing at home and saying, oh, well, I would be a popolare, and, you know, the Republicans would be the optimates, right? And, you know, who knows, because it was like 2,000 years ago, so, you know, it doesn't really apply now. The thing is, Julius Caesar was a popolare, right? And the first one of the first populares was Tiberius Gracchus, and what he tried to do was land redistribution, a.k.a. communism, which was take the land away from the people who were farming it on the latifundia, or the wide lands, right? Take the land away and redistribute it to the poor, give them free stuff, right? This is what Chavez is actually tried to do in Venezuela. And so he said the land belongs to people. So the people, they went and they just, this guy had a farm, and all of a sudden all these people show up and they say, this farm is mine. They kill him and his family, his wife, his kids, or whatever, or chase him out if, you know, he manages to negotiate something. And then they're on the land. And guess what? That land used to produce food for the country. Now it doesn't produce anything because those idiots don't know how to farm as good as that guy did, right? That's why he had a big farm, because he was a good farmer, right? So guess what happens to the price of bread in Venezuela? It shoots through the freaking roof, right? Because all of a sudden there's no grain, right? So then Chavez, this guy's a genius, you know, so he's going to fix the problem. He decides, okay, well, I'll just fix the price of bread. Price of bread's a dollar, right? So you can't charge more than a dollar. Okay, so if you're a baker, you can buy the flour for $5, but you can buy the bread, you can sell the bread only for a dollar. So you know what? I'm not baking any bread. And then all of a sudden I got a food shortage and everyone's starving. Good plan, knucklehead. That communism shit's wonderful. It works every freaking time. Millions of people die every time because it's genius. That's what it's designed to do. Hey, I'd like to kill like a few million people. How could I do it? I don't know. I could become a communist. I can convince people I'm working in their interest, and then they'll all freaking starve to death. It'll be awesome. And then at the end of the day, it'll just be me at the top of this big pyramid structure and a bunch of people I push around. But back in the Roman period, the populares, Julius Caesar, I don't know if you know that guy, but he's the one who crossed the Rubicon, he marched on the Capitol, and he took over freaking Rome. It was the populares who destroyed the Republic, okay? So quit being the populares, because that crap doesn't work. It never worked, and it ends in tyranny. Right?
And
I'm not saying be part of the optimates or whatever, you know, because who the hell were those people? But all I'm saying is we have a constitution, we have a social contract between me, you, and every other citizen that we all signed, our ancestors signed, we agreed to, and if you immigrated here, you're now part of that social contract, and you goddamn well, sorry.
Yeah, well, you
fucking well better start abiding by it, all right? So
yeah,
we have a social contract, and, you know, stick with it.
We in the United States already started that decline in, into democracy from our republic beginnings. Our U.S. Senate, the senators used to be selected or elected out of the Congress of each state. And I'm not sure when it happened, but the senators you know, have converted to election by popular vote in each state from being appointed or voted to state Congress.
That's right.
There have been various initiatives started, but they've been squashed you know, rather quickly. Good of changing the with the Electoral College to
right.
A full popular vote. But you know those
that would
things,
be. That would be a terrible
oh, yeah.
mistake, and you're absolutely right. What you're talking about is the 17th Amendment, okay? And
right.
happened
so that,
yeah, during when we started the great progressive communist experiment, and you notice the 17th Amendment came right on the heels of the other unpopular amendment, the 16th Amendment, which allegedly created the income tax, which it did not, but allegedly it did. So this was part of the fix to create a system of oligarchic control and to reduce the power and the sovereignty of the states and thereby the power of the people. So what they always do, and what you and Tex are talking about, is they always appeal to the passions of the people, and the problem with the passions of the people is that we will destroy ourselves. It is called the tyranny of the majority, and we'll always end up eating each other because man is intrinsically a fallen creature who is prone to warfare. Our system
study
is
Athenian history. They were a democracy, and look what they did to themselves.
That's right.
Why did Athens lose to Sparta? Anyway, go ahead.
Our
Constitution is designed to check our passions and to protect the rights of the minority. And by the minority, it's not some special interest. The minority is you. You're one person. It's designed to protect you individually. And our delegate process to the convention is based on the same principle. We elect our delegates. We give them a high office of trust, and we send them to convene in Congress or convention, okay, to pick the optimal person for the job. What we have the Republican rhinos doing is trying to create a system whereby we think we popularly elected this moron in the primaries, and he's now the presumptive nominee, so shut the hell up and just accept it. But that's not how it works. Not a single delegate has voted. And what every one of us has to do, every single one of us on this call, everyone listening, everyone that you know on Twitter with hashtag Broker Convention, everything, make it very clear that you want your delegate to exercise that office of trust responsibly to give us a candidate who not only can get the job done, okay, what I mean by the job done is someone who can actually do something as far as governing goes, okay, but someone who believes that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and someone who can stand up there, put his hand on the Bible, and take an oath before God and be serious about it, because it has eternal consequences, to defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic, and that includes the enemies within your own country and within your own party. Okay, that's what we have to do. And so it's the most important job that you have is to empower your delegate to exercise their conscience and not to cave into the pressure of Vince Pubis and the crying Tan Boehner.
People make the mistake of this election is just about Obama. This is bigger than Obama. Obama's a big problem. That's absolutely true. But the courts, you know, and everything else that, you know, is at stake right here. We need to focus on the big picture here. Yes, Obama's a big problem, but we also got to look at everything else. And what the hell has Romney presented that he could convince us that, you know, he could get the job done? He hasn't. The only person
what
I've seen.
The only person I've seen,
you know, give the solutions in order to, you know, get this country rolling again is Newt Gingrich. He's the only guy that gives specifics. The only guy.
Look, Newt Gingrich knows absolutely what he's doing. He knows how Washington works. He knows how to fix it. He knows how to be a president. He knows exactly what to do when he gets into office. I mean, they used to make the joke about Nixon's hand rested ready, Nixon 1980 or whatever, right? Well, look, Newt Gingrich, you know, he's not as tanned as John Boehner, I'll give you that, but he's rested and he's ready. And this guy could be the president from day one. He knows exactly what he's doing. Mitt Romney's going to go in. You think he's all befuddled on the campaign trail. Wait till he gets behind the resolute desk, and it turns out that dude's not so resolute. He's like, he's got a, you know, dictionary out looking up what the heck does resolute mean. You know, I don't know. Barack Obama's like, I never figured that one out either, but I'm out of here. You know?
Well, he's going to try to fire somebody and figures out, oh, shit, man, I can't fire Harry Reid.
Yeah. You know, but look at the resume. I mean, when the delegates look at the resume of the folks to be the nominee
to
go up against
Harry Reid, that doesn't work either, Romney. Anyway, go ahead, Robert.
No, I was just going to say, but I'm saying look at the resume between Newt Gingrich, you know, and Romney. And what the delegates, I mean, simply for the delegates to do, because their job, their duty, is to pick the best candidate to go up against the opposing party. And if you look at the resume of Newt Gingrich and compare it with that of Mitt Romney, hands down, it's Newt Gingrich.
Absolutely.
It would be that.
And Robert, it's not only that he's the better man because he's better at governing and has better experience and he's more adherent to the Constitution, but let's be clear about something. Newt Gingrich's record of campaigning is one of absolute victory. And
right.
Mitt Romney's campaign credentials are a 15% success rate. That means an 85% failure rate. Why the hell would you nominate a guy who loses 85% of the time?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's the most important election, so we got to get behind the nominee. But our quote, supposed presumptuous nominee, loses all the time. It's almost as if and he loses by design. You know, who could lose this much, this often, and still be in politics?
It's the beer can response. You got to get behind them. It's the beer can response.
Yeah. Yep. Gentlemen, we've got about 5 minutes of showtime left, and we've got a caller on the line. Chris, your mic is live. What's on your mind, and thanks for calling in.
Well, I wish I would have been on top of this earlier, guys. I'm sorry I missed most of it. It sounded like it's awesome. One of the things that I've noticed, and I'm sure you guys have too, because you're on the same networks and information places I am, Facebook, et cetera, is the doubling down that is going on right now as we move into the convention. And that is where we need to stand resolute, you know, because – you know, the bottom line is that everybody is confused. People, you know, the thing that you said earlier was this whole thing about it's all about Obama. And it isn't about Obama. It's absolutely about everything that's happened in our country over the last 50, 60 years, how they've changed us from state sovereignty to, you know, federal control. I mean, it's moving at hyperspeed at this point in time. And that's
yep.
where I always stand firm, no matter who I'm talking to, no matter who tries to pull their little psychological, you know, they all have like a little playbook on how they work at the weaknesses in people. And, of course, people like us that are on this show don't have those weaknesses, so it doesn't work. And I have told people, and this might help people that are listening right now, that when you get in those debates or arguments or these psychological games that these Romney zombies are playing, is you've got to reverse the argument and ask questions. Because arguing with people, you know, tit for tat, fact for fact, for, you know, back and forth, gets you nowhere. That's all they want to do is engage you and chip away at you. The best debaters, and I've done thousands of them in my lifetime, and I'm not bragging, I'm just saying, you know, I have. And the best debaters are the people who respond with a question. And that is so key because, I tripped over a guy. He was throwing all this crap, you know, it's over, and Romney has 1,570 delegates and stuff. And I said, oh, so you haven't heard about the lawsuit. One simple question totally put him on the defensive. And it's important that people understand that because people get all caught up emotionally in these attackers, you know, that are just rampant out there on the sites right now. And you can turn it around if you stay calm and you ask them. You know, I ask people all the time, oh, so you haven't heard about the lawsuit? And then they're like, oh, well, the lawsuit, you know, and they start stuttering. As soon as they stutter, you're in control again. So that's
yep.
just something I wanted to throw in there because I've seen a lot of people, you know, war-torn and sweating and bloody and beat up and, you know, and caught up in these last few days. You know, the battle's going to intensify, and it's intensifying for one reason. They're scared.
That's right.
They
yeah.
are scared of a broken convention. They are afraid that conservatives are going to unite with the Pauls, you know, with the conservative libertarians, and they are scared to death that this thing is going to turn upside down on them. There's trillions of dollars at stake in this election. This is king of the world. Come on, guys. You know, people don't
yeah.
understand this. This is the ultimate power on this earth sitting in that chair. And all the people are going to – all the parasites, they're going to feed off this man. Nobody likes this guy. I haven't met one person who likes Romney. Have you?
No one has ever said that he was the first person to even like him.
You know, nobody likes this guy. So the bottom line is the only reason they back him is either fear of Obama because they're weak and they don't understand what we understand, or they are going to gain. They're parasitical feeders. They're bottom fish.
Sure.
They don't care if they kill
the host as long as they can suck some of the blood.
Well, they're those little fish that swim on the back of that attached to sharks. That's how I see them.
Yeah.
In 2007, Rush Limbaugh made a statement that, you know, I thought was today I think was quite profound, and it gets to this.
Rush, we're going to go into overtime, so just don't worry about it.
Let me
tell you this. We got about a minute left. I'm going to sign off for all the live listeners, and then we can continue in a little overtime. But I don't want to go too long because you know, Sammy's got his Back in Black show tonight, and I want to make sure we get over there. And I encourage everybody to get over to Sammy's. but I want to thank all the live listeners for calling in. We are going to take this into recording time because we're having a great conversation, and we are really, our power has been in the archives. So I thank everybody for calling in. I thank everybody for listening. Don't let up. Keep going. Get on Twitter, hashtag Broker Convention. Hit them on Facebook. Call. Make sure that everybody knows that we are having an open convention. We're going to elect a real conservative who can actually defeat Barack Obama. It is not Mitt Romney. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. Don't even for 1 second let up, okay? And we're going to continue this, so please catch it in archive. And this is Tex and Rex signing off the air.
Resolution in Tampa. Okay, now back to our regularly scheduled program. What were you guys saying again? Because that was getting good.
In 2007, yeah, that was a good one. In 2007, Rush Limbaugh made what at the time was comment of frustration. He said, "Well, I don't know. It looks like Obama's gonna win this. Maybe the Conservative Party will." Or I think he said, "The Republican Party will wake up after this guy ruins us for 4 years." I don't know. And then boom, he went. I remember this vividly. And then he went to commercial, and he didn't come back to it. Well. Rush was right. Rush was absolutely right. What Obama has done has added to this perfect storm of the wake-up call for conservative America. Because imagine if we would have had Hillary. The way that the Clintons know how to pivot to stay on what America thinks they want versus Obama staying on message for what he wants, hell or high water.
Yeah.
We would not be at this moment of perfect storm to take our country back.
This is something I've been saying for a while, which is that these Romney people, they're focus grouped and they're in their ivory towers and, they have the perfect napkins for the season and the right silverware, and all this kind of stuff. And they're living in their bubble. And they think, oh, well, we'll just terrify the American people about what a socialist Barack Obama is, right? And then they'll definitely vote for whoever the nominee is, right? Well, what they don't realize is the American people are so terrified by what Barack Obama is doing and by the fact that, quote, conservative Republican rhinos are going along with it and are complicit in it,
We
are freaking 100% awake, and we are standing, as Bill Buckley said, standing athwart history, yelling stop. And at this point, we're not standing athwart history yelling stop. We're standing athwart history yelling stop, motherfucker. What in the fuck are you doing? At this point, if you're not awake, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, no doubt about it.
How come I didn't find you guys earlier?
I don't know. Well, this was meant to be tonight.
Look, the simple thing is, Chris, I thought I was alone
out there.
Well, we all did.
I'm telling you, Chris,
okay?
We've been out here for a long time.
but look, we all thought we were alone. I remember the first time that my wife came across Sammy's show, and I'm listening to Sammy speak in his southern accent and talking about Newt Gingrich, and I'm going, who is this guy? Because I thought I was going insane that I'm out here, the only guy who thinks like this. Everybody else is telling me, it's over for Newt. He dropped out. It's because campaign staff left and imploded. And I'm thinking, what happened?
Yeah.
And then started listening to Sammy's faithfully. And then I got on Twitter, and then got on Facebook, and it's like, wow, there's a lot of us out here, and that's the power behind this technology, because we're the doers, okay? If you're a conservative, then you're one of the doers in the country. We are the people that carry and build this republic, and so we're busy. You're busy with your families. You're busy in your business or your job. You're busy at your church. You're busy. And so you don't have time for this crap, so you think someone else is going to take care of it, and you're going to show up and you're going to vote for the most conservative guy. And then all of a sudden we're realizing, wow, this thing's falling apart. I don't really have time to deal with it, and I'm the only one. But then we rose up, and that perfect storm that Paul's talking about, it's happening. It is happening, and it is exciting because it isn't just those of us who've been carrying this torch because we were inspired by the 1980s and 1994 conservative revolution. It's also these young people who are rapidly following Ron Paul, not in the cult of personality sense. They're following him because he stands up for the Constitution, and that's what they're thirsting for. And the power behind this is by getting together and burying the hatchet, setting aside the areas where we disagree. There's some disagreement on foreign policy. Maybe we disagree on tax policy. You know, we got some disagreements, but we agree in principle.
I agree with Gingrich about everything.
Exactly, but we agree in principle. In principle, we agree, and that's the beauty of it. That's why this country has survived through 100 years. I hear this crap all the time where people say, you know, well, America's a young country. It's not as old as European countries, blah, blah. Bullshit. We are the longest-standing constitutional republic in history, okay?
Yes,
every other country that has a every other country that has a constitution is younger than we are. We are the – go ahead.
But when I worked for the government, all right, so this is your government that you actually paid for, so you guys were cutting me checks, and thanks a lot, you know, pay your taxes. You know, sorry they're so freaking high, but, you know, those raises were pretty freaking awesome, man. I got two raises a year when I worked for the federal government. I don't know if you know about that, but you do get two raises a year. So that was sweet. I was getting like 5-6% every year increase. I bet you guys don't get those. Anyway.
Nope.
But, yeah, exactly. It is awesome.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. So, you know, thanks a lot, suckers. But anyway, that gravy train is coming to an end. But when I worked there, they used to come to me and they would say, well, you know, these Egyptians, and, you know, this person that's, you know, and those of you who know who I am, you know whose voice I'm doing, these Egyptians, they've been around for 10,000 years. They're telling you don't know anything. You're a young country. I'm like, we're older than Egypt. She's like, no, you know, Egypt's been around since the beginning of time. I'm like, well, they've been conquered about a million times, and the current people who claim to be Egyptians are not the ancient Egyptians. They have nothing to do with it. And guess what? They have a massive youth population, like 50%. And when you have a youth population that high, you tend to have more revolutions going on because the youth tends to get upset. This is what was going on across the world in the 60s with the baby booms that were going on, right? That's why you had these sort of revolutionary fervors, because you had a bottom-heavy or youth-heavy population across the world, right? And the Egyptian, you know, government only dates back to, or back then, only dated back to the 50s. The United States government dated back to 1776, right? So we're an older government than they are. And now the Egyptian government only dates back to 2012. Okay, so we're a way older government than they are. We are a much more stable government than they are. Same thing with French. It's like, oh, the French, oh, they're all so smart, all these French. I'm like, 1779 versus 1776, which one came first? By the way, the French helped us out, and guess what we did? We cross-fertilized with France. We went over there, and we spread the seeds of the American Revolution to Europe. And all those revolutions that were going on in Europe, guess who started those? Those United States intellectual power overthrowing the monarchies of Europe. That's what we did.
Yeah, except that those revolutions went the wrong way. I mean,
the French Revolution went the wrong way. But all I'm saying is that we brought the ideas there. So we had the Magna Carta, right? And the Magna Carta, the rights of Englishmen, we brought those over here to America, and we were saying, hey, we want the rights of Englishmen. And the English were like, well, we've just had, like, Oliver Cromwell and a whole bunch of stuff go on, and we don't even know what you're talking about anymore. Like, the rights of Englishmen are completely different. And we're like, no, they're not, because we have the Magna Carta. And they're like, no, we got to update you on this Oliver Cromwell thing. And we're like, no, see, we don't get it because we're Americans, and we got a new thing. It's called the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, because you guys don't know what you're doing.
Well, it's the difference between a subject and a citizen, too. All right.
Right. Yeah.
England still rules and governs under the notion of subject, where you're owned by the crown, right?
Yeah.
But the government has moved, you know, more towards a democratic republic mechanism, but still they have the notion that you are not a citizen, you are a subject, and that is totally different. And the United States is really the only place that has the notion of a pure citizenship that is only accountable to God. And has unalienable rights.
Well, see, that's what we've forgotten. We are sovereign citizens. I am a sovereign. You are a sovereign. We are all sovereign. This is our country. This is our land. My family has been here. We were in the first census of 1792, okay? And you know what? We were here before then, because one of my great-great, many-great grandfathers died in 1776, and one of them died in 1777. You do the math on that, right? So I assume they were fighting in the Revolutionary War, okay, because we're kind of hotheads. But if you're fighting in the Revolutionary War, that means you kind of predate that, right? So
we've been
here since this thing got started.
And let's be clear about that. Let's be clear about this something, okay? We call it the American Revolution. It's not really a revolution. You brought up the Magna Carta, which goes back 800 years, okay? This was more of a fulfillment of a conservative idea that we are sovereign and that we form governments to protect our rights, okay? That's the idea that was fulfilled in the so-called American Revolution, which was really a conservative revolution. Granted, at the time, it would be considered a liberal idea by the 19th or 18th century definition of the word liberal, meaning, stemming from liberty as opposed to the modern term we use, which means socialist.
Right.
And so the idea is that this country is based on conservative principles, and it is revolutionary in the sense that it's counter to the general trend of tyranny in human history. And what we're witnessing now, what's happening in Tampa, is a resurgence of this conservative revolution and this rising conservative principle of true liberty. And that's the power behind it. And the fact is that they're trying to stop it because it frightens the oligarchs, because it reduces their power and forces them to compete with us. They are afraid of us, which is why they have spent decades convincing us that we are alone, feeding us the media that tells us that we don't really matter, we don't exist, okay?
Or
and
there's
that's
something
why
wrong
every
with
one
us.
Of us. What's that?
Or there's something wrong with us.
Right, which is why we think we're alone. But now we know that we're all together. We're united. We're the majority. This belongs to us. Mitt Romney stands no chance. No chance.
No, he's
done. Let me ask you smart guys a question. And this is something that I have wondered about. I see us independent, hardcore conservatives with our groups and your radio shows and things like that. And then I see these tailings of things going on out there. I see Palin still fighting. I see her still gritting her jaw when anytime anybody brings up Romney around her. And I see Alan West, and I see these people who are like us in terms of their personalities and their drive and their desire, constitutional government, blah, blah, blah. What are they doing behind the scenes? Does anybody have a clue? Are we just guessing that they're hoping and prepping for something to occur at Tampa 2?
Well, I think they're prepping for something to happen. And, I don't know what everyone's doing. I'm not a mind reader or anything, but I think Sarah Palin would be an excellent Secretary of Energy. And I'll just tell you, Sarah, if you're out there listening, or Barbara, if you're listening on her behalf, I'll just tell you, Secretary of Energy is the absolute worst job you can get in Washington, because it's always a problem and you have no control over it, right? But if she's Secretary of Energy, you just call me and I'll be advising on the energy sector, and I'll be helping you out, because I dealt with that bureaucracy before and I know they're bullshit. And what they're going to try to do and how to fix it. So, no worries.
Well,
she dealt
with that in Alaska, too. That was
pretty
amazing what she did up
that's
there.
Right. Yeah.
I lived up there for half my life, and those oil companies had those politicians bought and sold. When Sarah Palin came in, this little mom. Go ahead, sorry.
Chris, let me just stop you for a second. I think we lost Paul. I think I've got Robert and Tex and you. So why don't we do this? Because I want to wrap this up and help Sammy out. So Chris, why don't you give us some final thoughts, and then Robert, and then Tex, and then we'll wrap it up. Go ahead and take a couple of minutes and just make your final thoughts on the subject at hand.
I feel that we are, in a sense, we feel like a minority. But we are the majority because we speak, we draw people to us because of our strengths, our convictions and our willingness to stand up, and whether we do it in printed word or we do it in vocal, whatever, Facebook, whatever. And I really believe that they fear the hell out of us. And this battle is bigger than the presidency. I believe that what is occurring now is going to empower people. And the thing that I keep trying to say to people is, don't let off now because people are paying attention during the election. After the election's over, regardless of who becomes president, people will, oh, my God, thank God that's over, and they'll go back to their lives. Now is the time you need to stay resolute and continue to keep, you know, get the information out there and fight the fight. That's all I got to say.
Absolutely, and we got to continue on. And we do our shows Friday, Saturday. You call in any time. It's the direct line. You're on immediately.
Cool. I appreciate that.
And we're all going to head over to Sammy's if everybody has time after this. I need about 20 minutes to charge up my phone, and I got another phone call to make.
Okay, great. I'm going to listen to Back in Black, and then I'll dial in to Sammy.
Perfect. All right. And Robert, any closing thoughts to follow up on with Chris?
Well, it was a great show tonight, guys, and I'm glad I was able to make it in. And, you know, a lot of great stuff, especially towards the end. It was, you know, really good listening. But, yeah, I'll probably try to come into Sammy's show in a little while, maybe in about 45 minutes or so. So hopefully I see you guys there.
All right. Well,
okay,
look, thank you, Chris, and thank you, Robert, for calling in. We really appreciate it, and this show was good.
Yeah.
I think we could easily have gone for another hour. I don't know how much recording time we actually have, but
yeah.
I think that we should do this again. And, of course, we've got Robert's show. Bard's Logic Political Talk, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday through Thursday. And then, of course, Sammy, who was paring back his show, but someone pissed him off, and thanks be to God for that, because now Sammy's back in black and he's harder than ever. He's going to be on every night 10 to 1. 10 to 1. So we'll meet up there. This is the final push, and we are going to we're going to take this all the way. And if anybody can join us in Tampa, that would be great because we're going to make a lot of noise. Tex?
Cool. All
right.
All right.
Sounds
see
awesome. I love tonight's show, and thank you guys for calling in. And we do it every Friday, Saturday. Just call in whenever you want, and we'd love to have you.
I'll definitely make this a better habit. I'm sorry I missed it earlier.
All right, guys. Well, look, thanks for calling in. Once again, folks, this is Tex and Rex signing off.
Resolution at Tampa.